Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
In my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops.
You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
Make some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Beer is fine.
God damn it, man.
Oh my God.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
All right, welcome to the program, everybody. And there was almost no program. It was almost another huge fuck-up by...
By the J-Man.
We can't blame it on Chad.
You cannot blame this one on Chad.
Why not?
Because Chad's on vacation.
Oh. Well,
so
that's why.
People won't even believe... That's true. That could be. He wasn't in Wisconsin to babysit me last night, is what I think was the problem.
Well, I was discussing that with somebody, like Schumann, I think, and it was, you'll probably make it to the show today because we're not there to be bad with you.
And that's true.
But it didn't work, did it?
Well, it didn't. Although I thought I was going to be in good shape because I wasn't that bad. I did, you know, probably close down the bar. But I just thought, you know, no big deal. I go on short sleep all the time as long as I'm not really turning it up. You know what I'm saying? But I did know that I was going to have a severe lack of sleep. So let me preface this in case anyone doesn't know. Jamil and I got to go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin for the last couple of days for Northern Brewers' grand opening of their Milwaukee location. And really was a great time. We had listeners drive from all over the Midwest to come. I mean, hundreds of miles.
Wow.
Somebody drove 800 miles.
Well, that's a long way. Well, that's all they do in the Midwest, though. They drive lot of miles flat in one direction.
That's true.
Yeah.
So we go there for had just a great time. And, you know, I, of course, thought I had an 8 a.m. flight this morning. And so I thought, well.
Sounded like a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I needed to get here for the show. That was really the only flight that would get me. I want to take Thanksgiving Sunday off. Got family coming in town. I thought it'd be good for everybody to not have to come in here.
Oh, we're all coming here for Thanksgiving?
On that weekend. Sure, JP. You have nowhere to go, right?
Oh, no, I have place to go.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't want to talk. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes. I have options. Yeah. You know,
I was hoping you'd go, no.
Strip clubs are open.
Yeah, that's right. Jay Brooks is in studio with us today.
Yeah, early, too.
Early. You're a great guest so far, Jay. You showed up on time, early even. You've got your Red Bull, not a Monster energy drink, but a Red Bull.
I wouldn't buy Monster anymore.
You wouldn't? You refuse?
Absolutely.
I got some in the trunk if you want.
Nothing. Get next to the body.
Exactly. So Jay's going to be with us all show long. We're going to do a great show about social media, beer journalism, and beer and blogging. Jay's my favorite beer journalist on the planet. And especially when he starts spouting out his opinions about the beer world, it gets even better. So if you're not reading the Brookston Beer Bulletin yet, you probably will after this show. He's a fun guy. So I go out to Wisconsin, and Ty went on pretty good Friday night because I figure no big deal, right? I don't fly home till Sunday morning. I get my 8 a.m. flight Sunday morning so I can get here to do the show. And late last, I still end up closing down the bar, hanging out, drinking a few beers with the Northern Brewer guys, and a few of our listeners came to hang out. And so I get back to the hotel, and I set my phone alarm, and I set the hotel alarm, knowing myself very well that it does take a bit to wake me up if I'm drunk, and it will be 3 hours from the time I've passed out.
Right.
Well, my phone alarm just buzzed itself right off of the nightstand down onto the floor. I found it there later. And I must have screwed up the fancy hotel alarm clock somehow because I never even heard it. Never made a sound.
It was probably a time change screw up like you'd put on the website for the show.
Did I
call the front desk for a wake up call?
I didn't think to do that actually. No, I was
figured
I was. I thought, yeah, I was doubling up, right?
Redundancy, yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I should have totally had the wake-up call, but I didn't. And so I my flight today, I roll over and I look at the clock this morning, and it's 7:10.
Oh.
And I'm like, fuck.
There's no way.
Impossible.
Did you try?
I didn't even jump up. I was like, oh, yeah, that's impossible.
How far were you away?
So, well, I just thought...
From the airport. How far away
it's still
airport?
I think the cab, it was 20 minutes still, 20-minute cab ride.
I could do it.
Doc could do it.
I did it.
You have done it. That's true. Doc has done it. Left everything in the hotel.
I just scooped everything into the bag, and I went... I didn't even know which direction I was going.
Cause right.
Draw me a picture to the airport.
Yeah.
It was a long way away.
Yes. So, maybe you would have done
the
it
last
this morning.
One on the plane.
You were, well, I just think, well, listen, it's south. For one, it's Southwest, and Southwest is the beauty of Southwest is they don't care if you change your ticket. They really don't care. You might have to pay the price difference, but there's no penalties. You can move it wherever you want. So I roll over the other direction in bed. I don't even get out of bed. I just call in Southwest. Rush around?
Kick out the dude.
And I say, hey, I'm about to. Yeah, that's right. About to miss my flight. But I need to get back to Oakland or San Francisco before 5 o'clock. We are all booked up today, sir. There is not another flight. And I'm going, and now I'm starting to sweat because I cannot, we missed a show just a few weeks ago. Their sponsor's paying for this program. I'm like, this is a non-option. And they're like, well, you can come down to the airport and check it out. Get to the airport. Lady says, well, I can fly you standby on another flight. Get you in at 4:30. To the Oakland at 4:30. I thought, all right, well, better late than never, right? We could have started the show at 5:30 or something,
sure.
Right? And so I do that, and I check my bags with her, but she's like, but you're still only on standby, and you're also on standby at your stopover. So I'm just telling you that potentially you're getting back at 4:30. So I walk down the hall, and I find another airline, and they've got a flight leaving, like, now, like right then, and it will take me direct to SFO, but I would land at 11:30 a.m. And $100.
What?
$100.
What airline is that? That's pretty good.
AirTran, the one that crashes all the time.
Yeah.
Did you weigh that in there?
Not a bit. I said, done. Here's the 100. Yes, put me on it. She's like, but we can't get your bags. I'm like, fuck it. Yeah. I don't care. So my bags went Southwest.
There's no room because all the goats and hay that are on there normally when we transport livestock.
That's what, basically, they're like, we can't get your bags on this flight. Whatever. F my bags. I need to get to San Francisco right now. Security guy, I go, and there's a long security line. As I'm in the security line, the AirTran guy at my gate gets on the microphone. Attention passengers, AirTran flight number 2347. Your flight is now boarding and leaving the terminal.
At the same time?
Yes, yeah. That's what
you
said.
You've got to run alongside it.
So I say to the security guy,
that's my flight.
That guy talking right there, he's talking to me. That's my flight. Security guy's pissed. Wisconsin people do not like slackers. This man was like, oh, Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, sorry, I'm a terrible human being, but I'm late for the flight, and that guy's telling me to hurry. So he lets me through, but nobody else in the line in front. You know how when you're at the security, you have to, everybody has to take out their laptops? So even though I've bypassed the swervy line behind me, the turnstile line, I still have 10 people deep taking their shoes off, their belts off. Not one, and they all heard the interaction.
Yeah.
One guy says anything to me. One guy, and he's all the way at the front because I'm standing there patiently behind people. There are no one's offering. And he's like, hey, dude, you go right ahead. You take it in front of me. And I was the last person on the plane, and I would have missed it if it weren't for that dude, right? The only nice person at the Wisconsin airport.
What was his name?
I don't know.
Nice dude.
He probably recognized you.
Name is Nice Dude.
He has a Brewing Network tattoo on his shoulder.
Yeah, it was that. It was a lunch meat tattoo.
Well, Justin, go right ahead.
Yeah. That's the voice of our interim producer, Scott, is filling in for the next few weeks while Chad is on the road.
Not intern. Interim.
Interim.
Because I'm no intern.
That's right. No, interim. Mm. Well, except if you technically intern, you know, you're not getting paid like everybody else in the world.
You had to go ahead and broadcast that?
Yeah. So that makes you interim.
Don't worry, Scott. That's a standard conversation on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
The lack of pay.
Well, I'm getting paid in beer. Mm-hmm. That's good enough for me.
How many nipples do you have? Yeah.
Wait about 6 months.
Yeah.
It'll get old.
Yes. It gets better. Yeah. I'll double your salary.
That's
in
what
six
I
months.
Mean. It gets better. Yeah. Every six.
So, Tacey, are you all right with... I know Shat's your boy.
I was asking him earlier.
It looks like Shat.
It's a Chad-free zone today.
Getting by. Spending a lot less time out in the middle of the week, you know.
Right, that's
at
true.
At beer events and stuff.
You are
like
shaking
that.
A little bit. You going through withdrawals?
Oh, no. I don't think you have withdrawal from beer, do you? I mean,
well, from Chad.
From Chad.
Oh, Chad. Yeah. No, I don't know Chad.
Have you talked to him every day since he left?
Not that much. No, I think I did a little bit today.
You didn't need to talk to him. He's on Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. You guys can... You tweet each other? Every day?
No, I've followed him on Facebook a little bit.
Yeah. He's already passed Colorado.
Colorado, yeah.
He's in Kansas. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. Driving.
Kansas.
So you think he's getting any or what?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yes, but not from the broad he's driving with right now.
Oh,
but
man.
I did get a short text from him that says he's got a great story. 21-year-old broad, sorority girl. And he almost got her roommate, too. So Chad,
what's
I don't know what happened.
This is in Albuquerque, or
maybe I don't know. He didn't. Wow. I didn't talk to him yet, so we'll have to get him to call in on one of these shows and find out this. But he said it's a great story.
He's got
to
be listening. Come on,
unless he's driving.
No, he really is
right now. Does that thing work, Bevo?
I don't know. I don't have
nope.
Damn it.
What number am I supposed to be turning up?
The first one. I took apart the studio to go to Wisconsin, so now I didn't fix Bevo's part. I'll fix that.
Oh, that's too bad.
So,
I'll see if I can get him to call in.
Yeah, I want to hear this story, because he just said, I got a great story, and got the one and almost got the roommate. So, 21 years old.
Good for Chad.
Good Chad.
Nice.
Quantity over quality, baby.
I think Chad single-handedly is keeping psychiatrists in business all across the Midwest.
His co-passenger's 22.
I didn't even know he...
Yeah, she's a youngster, too.
I didn't know he was even driving with a chick.
Yeah, a friend of his is moving back to Connecticut, and you know, Chad's got some time on his hands right now, so he thought he'll go. And he's not even sure when he's coming back, actually. He has no return flight yet.
Little adventure.
Yeah, so having a good time, I guess.
So far.
Sounds like it. He's going to come back with a clap. All right, so...
At least.
Anyway, luckily, thanks to AirTran, I actually ended up getting home sooner than I would have on my original missed flight.
Gotta love it.
So it all worked out great. And so I thought, though, that maybe my bags was going to be a big fiasco. Nope. Landed in San Francisco and talked to Southwest, and they said, oh, yeah, your bags made the flight. Which, don't you think that's kind of weird that you can... that they would allow bags on a plane without passenger they're attached to?
No, well, you paid for... I mean, you paid for their... flight, basically.
Yeah, they're worried about bombs.
Yeah, I just meant bombs.
For that reason.
Yeah. But in fact, even AirTran said that to me. They said, really? They checked your bags? You don't have them on you? And I was like, no. And they didn't give you a boarding pass? Nope. And she's like, oh, we don't do that. So
that's
probably
weird.
Why they crash all the time.
Yeah.
Well, no, they don't even breathalyze their pilots either.
Yeah. So. Well, so I ended, like I said, I ended up back sooner, and my bags are being picked up in Oakland right now. So it all worked out, man. I should have slept an extra few minutes.
Ain't no worries.
Yeah, it worked out great.
Yeah.
I would have beat myself up for a long time if I missed this show, so I'm glad it worked out.
All that's going to do is build your slacker confidence.
It does. Every time I succeed at this kind of thing, it just gets worse. Well, I did want to say just a big thanks to all the listeners and especially to Northern Brewer. I mean,
they're great guys.
They're a class act, and they're so much fun, and they get it. Like, they get the whole shtick that we do. They're into the fun. Like, we cannot say things that offend Northern Brewer. Well, even at the live show, Jamil kept asking, like, you know, am I not supposed to say that? And they just said, you guys just do what you do, man. They're great like that.
You know they understand. I mean, they put out ads with zombies in them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, they understand the, I don't know, it's almost like the resurgence in homebrewing, right? Where it's like the, you know, 25 to 35 or 40 like demographic dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the big dog area in homebrewing, I think.
And they're into
and
it,
they
too.
And they understand it.
We talked a lot about that, bringing in, you know, a younger audience of brewers to keep the hobby going.
Yeah.
As people
yeah.
start to die.
That's what we do. As people start to die.
You know, or their livers
as,
fail.
As brewers' livers fail, we need it. We always need a fresh crop
that's,
of livers.
That's one end. They're entering AA and
yeah.
got to bring in new ones to fill that in.
Now, this new store is amazing also. A huge showroom. They have a big classroom area with like a hooded kitchen, you know. It really, it just, the place is awesome. So if you're in that area, if you're within 100 miles of that store, I would recommend taking a day trip down there. You won't be disappointed. They have more specialty grains than I've ever seen on a website, never mind to be able to go in there and taste them and see what you want.
They
Doc,
would,
you would have loved it. You should have seen.
Yeah.
They have this whole grain room with them all just in buckets there and, you know, all obviously clearly labeled. And I'm telling you, more specialty malts than I've ever seen. It was great.
They've always been real big on the grains.
Yeah.
They've been real big on getting specialty malts and all, a lot of kind of stuff.
So. Keep everything. Yeah. I heard guys on the phone, like standing outside the specialty grain room, calling their buddies going, you got to get down here. I just tasted 25 specialty malts. And then there's a classroom. I mean, you could hear people calling their buddies saying, get down here. So location's very cool. I just, you know, thanks to everybody who came out to support us and them. And I would recommend to get there if you're in the area. It's a cool place. Okay, couple announcements next week. I think we have Will from Cambridge Brewing on the show.
Great.
And, you know, I think I've met Will once, but mostly what I know about him is that everybody loves Will's beer. And that he does some collaboration brewing with people because they love his beer. There's beer dinners with his beer because they love it so much. So, one hell of a brewer. Do you know Will, Jay?
I do know Will. I've known him for a number of years. You want to make sure you ask him about his cellar. Where he's got his barrels.
Okay.
It's pretty impressive and rather a dangerous place because the ceiling is low.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of head bashing
and,
down there.
And he just got married just a few months ago.
Oh, good.
So that'll be a fun thing to find out about, too. Yeah.
Maybe a producer will take notes on that.
Maybe.
What do you think?
It's all in his head. Takes notes like a computer.
Talking about you, Scott.
In that head.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you meant Chad listening on his iPhone or something.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Will next week. That'll be a good time. New Brewing Network shirts are in store still, and I've got all new sizes. They arrived while I was away, so I will restock with that, too. That new Hop Grenade logo on there looks great. A lot of people bought them in Wisconsin, so that was cool. I got to pay the cab to the airport.
There you go.
This morning. So. You can subscribe and join the BN Army, and that enters you into our monthly raffles. I've been getting a lot of questions about those, JP.
Oh, great.
Our monthly raffle returns in December.
Ooh. Yes, it does.
And we're not exactly sure, but we've been throwing away some big ideas, right? Did you talk to the boys at More Beer yet?
Yes. I have, and yeah. Everything is A-OK. Yeah.
You know we have a webcam now, right, JP?
Oh.
If you're just tuning in, justin.tv/brewingnetwork, you can see all the action.
No.
Actually, I think you're a little off camera, so you're...
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes, everything is on schedule.
We're talking about doing a big giveaway because it's been a three-month hiatus, so I would say sign up now. You might get to win something cool. You know the cool stuff we've done with More Beer in the past, so I'm hinting to you that it's going to be good. All right, pay attention. And so sign up. Just hit the donate button. If you're a recurring donor, even for as little as $2 a month, then you're automatically entered into these raffles. So so do it. AHA membership's available through the homepage. You just click on the AHA logo. You guys seen the new AHA website yet?
Just browse it real quick.
Nice.
It is nice. I think, though, that it screwed up our AHA logo link.
Uh-oh.
And they didn't send me a new one. So if you click on that button, it doesn't work this week. I'm trying to get it fixed.
Okay.
But, yeah, their new website looks cool. And we're doing some video for some of their websites from the GABF. We're producing those things that will be available on their websites, too. The Brewers Association, I think, is getting their own as well, if they didn't already.
Right.
Yeah.
They need to split those up.
Yeah, and I think that's what they've done. I wonder if I was not supposed to leak that, but... whatever. I didn't sign a contract.
You heard it here first.
That's right. Always always scooping here. We're good at our news here, Jay. We scooped that Sully's beer is now available on Virgin America.
Oh, did you? You were the first to break that.
He announced it on our show for the first time last Sunday. And it's a shame you didn't make it last Sunday, Jay, because we were giving hop grenade tattoos on the program. You could have, you know, you could have gone home with fresh ink.
Excellent.
another regret.
Yeah.
More's the pity.
buy Brew Your Own Magazine. It's a great magazine. Just click on the Brew Your Own Magazine link on our homepage, too. We get half of that, so it helps out. Sign up for our Twitter, which is / Brewing Network, and our Facebook account. You can do that.
There we go.
It'd work. Send show ideas to Chad at thebrewingnetwork.com. Even though he's gone for a while, he'll still be taking your show ideas. And send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. So we thought it might be funny and fun to have JP take over Shat's segment while Shat is gone. You know, of course, Chad always does. He does our announcements.
It's your chance to do it better.
Very cleverly called Shat's announcements.
Well,
and but while he's gone, they are they're JP's announcements. I just said, hey, why don't you really pick up the ball here and run with it?
Yeah.
And so, would you like his theme music as
well? I was going to ask, are you going to give me his theme music, or are you going to give me my theme music? I don't necessarily have theme music.
Well, let's go with his then.
All right, let's do it.
Today's Shat's announcements are brought to you by Nico Brew. Go to NicoBrew.com, get great discounts on hops. There
you go. All right, well, this weekend was the first opening of Normal's groundbreaking cannabis cafe in Oregon.
Great.
They say, riding on the wave of Obama's memo to end DEA interference in state's medical marijuana laws and unprecedented response from the media, Oregon's Normal Cannabis Cafe opened at 420 on Friday the 13th.
But of course.
It's on Northeast Deckham in Portland, so if you're down there, go check that out. There is a healthcare job fair. In yes. Baltimore.
You know that he usually does beer announcements, right? You're doing a great job. Carry on.
Well, I figured, you know.
I don't want to give you direction. You
thank you.
Do your thing.
It's your spot.
On November 17th from 11 to 3. So at the Center for Applied Learning and Technology West Camp. For more information on that, you can contact Anika McIntyre at employmentguide.com.
Okay, good.
Thank you. This easy. Midnight. Midnight, one of my favorite bands. They're playing at the Vets Hall in Santa Cruz on 12/11/09. He just had a new album out with Lion Tribe.
Is that reggae?
Very good reggae band, yeah.
Okay.
There's a dude. OaksterdamUniversity.com. They have campuses in Oakland and Los Angeles, starting classes in January. They're $50. You can take such classes as marijuana, myths and facts.
My favorite.
Drug testing, workplace concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out, OaksterdamUniversity.com.
All right.
And my last one here, there's a big sale, 50% off sale. Check it out. Go to Westport.
God damn it. You can't, that one's good, huh?
Well, Westport. Can't do it.
Oh, you're so close.
Go to westportbigandtall.com. 50% off.
Thank you. Shat's announcements were brought to you today by Nico. Great job, JP. Really.
Not really.
In the style of Chad, you really took his interests to heart.
I thought I nailed it.
You did.
You need your own theme music.
I do need my. Next
it's
week, I'll do better.
Throwing you off,
I think. We'll try it again next week with your own theme music. Really, I thought you did
just
a great job.
How high did I go? Do you have a dB meter on?
It was pretty. It was pretty good.
That's screeching.
All right, and let's do a little bit of feedback for you.
Oh my God!
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
Can you play this yet, Doc?
Still working on it. He's lost in it right now. He's focused.
Yeah.
He's learning it.
He's learning it
right now.
He's listening. Doc's not on the camera either. I got the camera in the wrong places.
Really?
You guys are missing everything good.
Scott's on the camera.
Scott, Tasty, and Jay. Probably a little bit of Bevo. Oh, we got to see those tats, by the way.
Oh.
Sam and Terrence the Black are both here, and they also got hop grenades. We got to check them out.
I did take a picture of Bevo's tat. I'll upload it to something, maybe Twitter.
Upload it to our Facebook BN page. You can do it under fan photos, I think.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
All right. I'll do it at the break.
Okay, let's see. Feedback. Let's see. Scott was one of the guys. Not our Scott here. Scott the listener.
one dude.
The guy who didn't get our monster spoof last week.
Oh, really?
The one guy?
The one who really cussed me out, called me a corporate whore sellout. and a bitch, I think, was in there.
Sure wasn't our same Scott?
It could have been our same Scott. He did call to apologize. He said, well, I didn't realize it was a spoof, but you are still a whore. I jumped the gun a little on that one, but I figured you couldn't keep anything serious going for more than like 5 minutes, and not just in the bedroom. But he said, now that I know it was a spoof, it was very funny, Jay. I don't need any help looking like an ass. I can do it good all by myself. So, but he does say it was a nice spoof. And P.S. at NHC 2010, just for that, I'll be shaking your hand without any hand sanitizer.
Oh.
He will get me back for that. Yeah, so people are finally just still discovering that our monster thing was a spoof. I wish you would have covered it, Jay. What if Jay would have covered it as a real... Like, Brewing Network sells out.
This is doing.
Well, that's what we should have done, is contacted Jay.
Should have sent the press release. That, I just... It was, you know, yes. Me and my preparation, but I should have sent the press release. It would have been great. Been even better.
Is listener Scott aware that the aliens have not, in fact, landed?
I don't think
so. That, too, was a spoof?
That's what I mean. He didn't really... And I kind of told him he was a retard on the website. And anyway, he's taking it well now.
So, he's better now.
Let's see. Hey, Jay, thanks for the meat post. I just got the tweet, and I'm also on a... Oh, he wants us to play music from The Sound of Music on Lunch Meat. JP thinks it will make it just a little bit gayer.
Good.
The hills are alive.
Yeah. That's from Brant. I posted new meat in honor of the video that was created by our very own listener, Crotch Rot.
Yes.
Did you see this video, Doc?
Oh, yeah.
The Nazi video?
He sent it to me early on.
It's genius.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see this, Tasty?
No, I didn't.
I sent it to Schumann and Big Tim immediately.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook. It's on the search the Brewing Network there, and you'll see it. It's
on YouTube. You can search. I don't know how to find it though. I tried to search for lunch meat and Hitler.
Oh, I don't know either. It's funny stuff. So I put
search
up a show
Crotch
because
Rot.
Of that. And also, speaking of that other show, Brew Tattoo now has a tattoo of that hideous lunch meat logo on his shoulder. You know the shirt? The one with the... has it done just like that.
That slinky Drew?
Yeah. In fact, I said, how did your artist even dumb down enough to do art that awful and get that tattoo? He was like, yeah, it actually was a challenge for him to be that bad.
Was he saying it? Was that true in the video that he had to sign a second waiver?
I think so.
I really want this awful piece of garbage on my skin.
And it has our catchphrase there, too. It says good noon right underneath it. This guy is hardcore, man.
That is hardcore.
Believe that? It was funny. You can go to our forum and see pictures of it under the Beer Radio Lunch Meat.
That should be on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I'll try to put one up there. I could put the video up there, too.
Yeah.
Here's a question, Doc, Tasty, JP. Maybe you guys can help us out with this. A question from Jay. Jay Roberts writes in, it might seem stupid, but on your show, you always say standard 6-gallon batch when we're talking about recipes. Probably Jamil's show too. Standard 6-gallon batch. Does this mean that we're doing 6-gallon batches, or does it mean that we boil 6 gallons for a final boil-off of 5 gallons? I think this is not a stupid question.
It's a great question.
I had the same question when I started. Tasty, would you like to take this one?
Yes, it means that at the end of boil, you'll have 6 gallons of... wort in your boil kettle,
and the idea is what, that you'll only transfer five.
You don't want to get all the scrape the bottom of the boil kettle and get all that trub, and you may want to transfer 5.5 or 5.6 gallons into your fermenter, so that when you go to rack out the finished beer, you don't have to pull all that some yeast with you and stuff like that. And your corny keg holds a little bit more than 5 gallons, so you may want to put a little bit extra in there in case you filter and lose some, so that when you're done and go to take the first pint off your keg, you've
clean.
Got 5 gallons of beer.
So you account for evaporation in your boil, and end up with six gallons.
No, the pre-boil volume is probably 7.7 gallons.
That's what I mean. So the accounting for all that, you end up transferring 6 gallons.
When the flame
goes off, you've got
6 gallons in the kettle.
At the end of the boil, 6 gallons.
Got it.
So you're going to leave. When you rack it over, you're going to lose a little stuff in the lines. And then into the fermenter, when you rack it out of the fermenter, you're not going to take every last little bit out of there.
Right.
And so it accounts for loss.
Okay.
So you still have 5 gallons of beer at the end.
Beautiful.
When it goes into the keg.
Good question, Jay. Another listener has won some ribbons. He says, I enter as the Brewing Network as my club, and I figured I'd let you guys know to mark up two more ribbons for the BN Army.
Right.
A third and a second place in the 2009 SCH Amateur Brewing Championship. So he says, it's my first time bringing home ribbons, and I probably would have brought home three if I would have entered my Imperial Stout. He says that was good, too.
I like the confidence there.
Well, I think... Well, it
would have been three, but I didn't enter three. So.
Actually, no, here's what he said. If I would have entered my Imperial Stout into the Imperial Stout category, but instead he entered it into specialty because he used vanilla beans and coffee. So he put it into specialty beer instead, and I guess did not win there. First time ever bringing home any ribbons. Thanks to the BN for the info. And that's from Tom. So... All right, another question. Doc, maybe you can help with this one because Tasty filters, and he doesn't use clarifiers.
Okay.
Mills writes in, I've been kicking around the idea of using a gelatin polyclar cocktail for fining my beers. If I remember correctly from prior shows, would fining in this manner essentially be like fast-forwarding the aging process?
No.
Okay.
It'll fast-forward the clearing process. But the aging is more the yeast cleaning up things and flavors melding together.
Okay.
It'll fast forward the drinking process because it'll clear out the yeast a lot faster so it doesn't have that yeast bite. Sometimes when I want to...
I like fast forwarding the drinking process.
When I want to have a... I hate new beer that has a lot of yeast character to it. So if I need a beer faster than my normal letting it sit cold and dropping out, even with clarifiers, I'll use a filter. And it takes all that out of there.
Okay.
So you're kind of doing the same thing, but it doesn't really help with the conditioning of it.
Okay.
It just clears it out. It makes it taste better faster, but it doesn't do everything that the cold storage does.
Tasty, do you concur?
Yeah. There's certain things in beer that just get better with age, so yeah. But yeah, clearing it up is going to make it taste cleaner, and I think it probably... You know, whatever gravity does for the first, whatever, 4 weeks, it's sitting there. The filtering just takes that and compresses that into a few minutes.
Okay. All right. Here's one to me and Jamil, who unfortunately is not here. But one of the guys we got to meet out in Wisconsin just said, hope you didn't mind visiting us Midwestern yokels. Had a fantabulous time during the Northern Brewer Milwaukee store opening. And that was Nick. I dubbed him the Ginger. He was a ginger. I couldn't remember his name.
Ginger.
And poor guy. Like, we had a room full of people, everyone watching the show, and Nick had handed us some beer to try on the show. And me being the ass that I am, I just was like, and now we've got beer from the Ginger. I couldn't remember. He had a good sense of humor, though. Good guy. So nice to meet you, too, Nick. And another one here, too. Thanks, guys, for making your way out to flyover country this weekend. It was really cool to be able to see a live taping and meet you and Jamil. It was inspirational, so inspirational that I signed up to join the BN Army, $2 a month.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you. Thank you. He said it's not too much to ask for the hours of podcast I listen to each week.
Agreed.
I'm also going to make a serious effort to email breweries that I buy beer from specifically because of hearing them on your shows, like Lagunitas and Flossmore Station, etc.
Exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, please do that. In fact, we talked to Northern Brewer a lot about that this week, that the best indication they have about their advertising dollars is all of the notes that they get with the orders of people saying thanks about the Brewing Network. And they said to me, they said, do you want to know how many notes we get from all of the other advertising that we do in the publications and the other thing else? I said, yes, I want to know how many. And they said, absolutely zero.
Right.
And we get dozens a week from your guys. So that for breweries and our sponsors, all of that really helps a ton. Sully says the same thing all the time when he goes to a new location. You know, he's introducing the beer. BNers come out and meet him all the time, and it helps, man.
Yeah, we get the same at More Beer. A lot of people, you know, writing it. Mainly their notes telling me to suck it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, they're listening.
JP, suck it.
That's heartfelt, though.
Yeah, it's like, you know, thanks for the thing, and tell JP to suck it. And then so, like,
and
we got
to have to come do that.
Then they got a new guy working, and he comes up to me and goes, I had a note on an order telling you to suck it.
And you're
like, oh.
Great.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's
another
weird.
Fan.
I signed a lot of posters, suck it, this weekend. People wanted me to write suck it to them. Our listeners, man, I love them. They're fans.
All right.
Sickos like me.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, Northern Brewer even discussed, they thought, you know, if you enter something into the comment field, you actually slow down your order process. They had to figure out how to not slow down the order process, and now they've got that figured out. So keep telling them. That's the key.
Hey, Justin, who brought us feedback?
Oh, feedback was brought to you today.
Who is it? You thought I wasn't paying attention.
It's written down there. Who brought it to us today?
More beer.
Thank you, more beer. We'll be right back after this. Thank you. Still hungover.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. This holiday season is one of gratitude, giving, and winning. More Beer says thank you to all their wonderful customers with deals from Thanksgiving through New Year's, in addition to low prices, free shipping, and the More Beer deal of the day every day. And one lucky customer is going to win Regan's Big Fat Package, the very first More Beer pressurizable conical fermenter. Rolling out just in time for the holidays, it's their brand new redesigned stainless conical line with a new threadless racking port, new stand options, and a new pressurizable lid. They're giving away one of these new pressurizable conicals on December 31st. For every order you place with More Beer between November 1st and December 31st, use the coupon code CONICAL up to once every day to enter yourself into the drawing. Go to morebeer.com for more details. The 2009 More Beer season of winning. Win yourself some great deals and maybe even a brand new conical fermenter. Enter today only at morebeer.com. Downtown Joe's, located in the historic Oberon Building in beautiful downtown Napa, California, offers an award-winning brew pub experience from 8:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. For 15 years at the corner of 2nd and Main, Downtown Joe's has been voted Best Night Spot 7 times and Best Brew Pub for the last 4 years in a row. Brewmaster Colin Kaminsky's handcrafted ales, like his Tailwagon Amber Ale and Double Secret Probation IPA, are the perfect accent to riverside dining, live music, and a relaxing outdoor patio. Don't miss the Beer of the Month, special rotating taps, and the BN Army Member Special. Wear your BN gear, get 10% off your beer. Visit downtownjoes.com to make reservations, peruse their extensive calendar of events, or just read more about their fantastic beers. Come enjoy the fine beer, food, and music. Downtown Joe's, the award-winning brew pub, where you'll feel at home. In the past year, the Brewing Network has been able to add 2 new shows, expand our studio capabilities and quality, and bring more beer information home to you than ever before. In no small part, this is due to subscribers like you. Thank you from all of us at the Brewing Network. Without your monthly support of any denomination, we could not bring you the very best in live beer radio like Can You Brew It?, Brew Strong, and The Sunday Session. Haven't signed up yet? Join your fellow brewers in the BN Army. Sign up today at thebrewingnetwork.com for a recurring donation as little as $2 a month. Besides all the great live radio you'll support, every subscriber is automatically entered in monthly raffles for amazing brew gear like a conical fermenter, a temperature control system, or your own draft setup. Become a part of the BN Army today.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
And now back to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters.
On the Brewing Network.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking around. Great topic today, one that I'm always interested in. You might remember from some of our other shows where we've had, we used to have Bill Brand on the show every now and then, and another one of my favorite, was one of my favorite writers. But beer and news and beer and media, obviously being our the thing we do too, fascinates me. And Mr. Jay Brookston, or sometimes his pen name just Jay Brooks, I guess, right?
Well, Brooks is actually my actual name.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So where did the Brookston... I thought I had it reversed. So where did the actual...
Well, Brookston is our family name in a weird way.
I see.
My wife's last name is Johnston.
Okay.
And when we got married, we initially were going to both change our names to Brookston and combine them.
I see.
And laziness kind of set in. We never really did it. But when the kids came along, their legal last name actually is Brookston.
Oh, okay.
Which, so far...
Because you were able to just write on the birth certificate right there.
Yeah,
you didn't have to go
yeah.
through any process.
No.
I see.
Exactly. So they're Brookston, I'm Brooks, and my wife is Johnston. But we consider the family sort of the Brookston family. That's sort of...
Okay.
So that's where it came from. So when I started writing and needed a domain name, I used the family name rather than just my last name.
Okay. Well, and so now you have the Brookston Beer Bulletin, which is at brookstonbeerbulletin.com.
Right.
Right. And it's probably the most important beer blog in craft beer, I think, Jay.
Well, that's a distinction for others to make. Certainly not me. I'm certainly proud of it, and
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of people give me positive feedback. So
they do, and I know just a lot of people in a lot of industry folks, the
yeah.
who's who in the industry, all read your blog. You know, they often quote it and just find it a great source of information. Plus,
great.
You go to a lot of beer events too, so you get to know a lot of these people.
I have, and I've known them for a lot of years. It's not a really a recent thing. It's
okay.
Just more focused maybe now than it used to be.
Okay. Well, folks at home, if you have questions just about social media, beer journalism, beer blogging, of course you can call 888-401-BEER, or you can meet Bevo in the chat room. Just hit the chat now button on the homepage and send your questions over to us. We'll make sure that we get them answered by Jay. So how'd you get into beer in the first place? Because it's now your gig, right? Like, it's what
yeah.
you do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I stay home. I take care of the kids. But in terms of actual job, yeah, just stay at home and write.
And write.
You know, for a variety of publications.
So when did your love for beer begin? Were you 10?
Yeah. Not quite. More, I don't know, the 13, 14 range.
Oh, is
probably.
That right?
Yeah.
Well, you weren't drinking good beer at 13 or 14,
no,
were you?
No. I remember the first time I had near beer that my parents got for me when I was probably 13 or 14. And boy, that was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the same experience. I think I was younger, though. I think I was 9. But yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it was always around our house. My, you know, my relatives all drank, and a lot of them drank beer. And, you know, I grew up in a time when, you know, teenagers drank. It's just the way it was. It
As
was,
opposed to today.
Yeah, I know. Now they don't. I understand that.
Tweens drink.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania, a lot of just industrial lagers, but regional brands that in many cases aren't around anymore. Reading beer. Yingling was one, of course, still is.
Yeah.
Jenny Cream Ale was a big beer for me when I was a kid because it was a cream ale. It was sweet, you know, so it was easy when you're 14, 15, 16 to...
Choke it down.
To choke it down, yeah, exactly. And, you know, and that's pretty much what I drank, Schaefer and Schmitz and a lot of local brands. And then I moved to New York City, and that's when I got into... to better beer.
Okay.
I was stationed there, actually. I played in an army band for several years and was stationed in New York City, and we used to go to jazz clubs.
What did you play?
Sax and clarinet.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I dabbled in the sax junior high school band, you know.
Yeah.
I was the clarinet player.
Yeah, of course you were.
Excellent. Last chair?
Hey. Well done.
No, I was first chair for a little while. Yeah, I wasn't too awful.
I was a clarinet player, too.
Yeah. I played some clarinet in grade school.
Look at you. Look at we should start a band, Jay.
All clarinet band.
Quite a woodwind sort of we got going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Is being in the Army band like just a way to get out of service? Or
well, I volunteered.
Like
I mean, in part to get money to... you know, to go to college.
Right.
But if you go in the band, there are two nice things about it. One is they pay you more because you're bringing a skill that they can't teach you.
Right.
Yeah.
So I started at a higher pay grade than just somebody going in off the street because I brought that extra skill. And because at the time they were desperate for woodwind players, I could pick any duty station I wanted. And I
Sweet.
Thought New York City was probably a pretty good place to be.
And great.
It was. You
so
know,
when was this and
this
how
was
long
late
were you there?
70s. I was there from 77 to 80, roughly.
Did you disco?
No.
Come on.
No, we went to jazz clubs, you know, Village Vanguard, places down in the, you know, that area. And at that time, Pilsner Urquell, Guinness, Bass Ale were all kind of new brands in the market. Yeah. I mean, they were only recently starting to import them. And jazz clubs were carrying them. I don't know what the connection necessarily was between jazz and,
and Guinness.
Better beer.
And these beers.
That is weird, man.
But a lot of times we'd go there and they would have, you know, we were... poor, so they would always have like cheese trays with like apple slices and stuff, and you know those beers, and
yeah,
those dishes really work well together.
Sure. Right. And by the way, that today is not for poor people. It's always expensive when you
right,
get a
yeah.
cheese
yeah.
plate.
Not at this time. It was you know, it was a couple of bucks. You could share them when you know with people. But
right.
But those beers, I mean, as pedestrian as they seem today, were so different than the regular lagers that you know that we had back home that it was you know it was fascinating and it kind of spurred me to sort of look around and see what else was out there. And there were a couple places. There was a place in the East Village called Brewski's, which used to carry just a really good selection of shit you never heard of.
A bar or a store?
It was a bar.
Okay.
But they just had a pretty amazing selection of just really off-the-wall stuff. Stuff
wow.
that's probably not imported anymore.
Yeah.
But they'd maybe have 100, 120 different things. And, you know,
and
in
was,
the late 70s, that was pretty spectacular.
So was that, you know, if beer was different, then it was it was an import.
There was nothing. I mean, you know, domestically there, you know, Rheingold was in New York, and
yeah, okay,
you know, it was all regional brands. You know, Anheuser-Busch was, you know, was big, but it didn't have the sway that we think of about it today. I remember when I was in, I think a junior in high school, and I was still going through church classes for catechism.
Oh yeah,
Lutheran. And I wore a Bud shirt to church one day to. And because it still sort of had this rebellious nature to it. It didn't have the sort of it's a corporate beer kind of image that it does today. I mean, if my mother was the kind of person who would hit their kids, I'm sure I would have gotten
beat down. Yeah,
yeah, she was not happy about that at all. But
you can't wear something like that to church.
She would have preferred your NASCAR shirt. That would have been acceptable.
Yeah, I don't know what would have been better, but the point is, it was the regional brands that were really strong at that time. It wasn't the major brands that we think of now in the mid 70s.
Okay,
you know, Coors, you know, because you couldn't get it on the East Coast, or you know, everybody was wearing Coors T-shirts that they got down the shore.
Really?
With iron-ons of Rocky Mountain Coors and stuff. Nobody ever drank it, but you know, but
it was hip to have it.
Yeah, you couldn't get it, but it had this cachet that people. You
That's
know,
interesting
wanted.
How things have changed. Yeah. You know what happened to those beers? So
and then Michael Jackson's book came out when I was in New York, and you know, I found that and started reading more. And
which book was that?
I guess it must have been the New World Guide.
Okay.
It was published in, it was either 77 or 78, which was not his first book, but it was his first, it was the big book that really made an impact. He had written a book on pubs before that.
Okay, yeah.
Nobody ever talks about that book. It's a great book, actually, if you can find it.
So did you envision, though, excuse the phrase, you know, that you wouldn't have to get a real job? And, I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Did you ever work in the beer industry other than writing? Did you have to?
Later I did, but not close, like 10 years, 15 years later.
Okay.
So, no, I mean, I worked in music and the music industry. Actually, I managed record stores and was a buyer for a chain of record stores.
All right.
That was back east.
See, this is starting to explain the laid-back Jay that I know. you're just jazz and records and good beer. So I get it now. This is all coming together for me.
Excellent.
Makes sense. So did you? So you had you're kind of in the music world for a little while, and you're doing this. When do you start writing about beer?
Not till late 80s, early 90s. I wrote a book with a friend of mine called The Bars of Santa Clara County, A Beer Drinker's Guide to Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Which we published in 92. And the summer before, we visited about 550 bars in Santa Clara County.
Wow.
Over about a four-month period of time.
Really?
And, yeah.
So that was just all week long? You guys were checking out bars
most nights,
research?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
We started out figuring we'd have one beer in every place, and then we quickly realized that that's just not going to work.
Yeah. Well, especially if you found good places, right?
Right.
They had a few things on tap.
Well, we found more bad places than we found good places, and you know, we didn't really feel like we needed to have yet another beer that was exactly the same as the last place. So,
all right.
At that time, you know, it was rare to find a bar that had a really good selection of beer.
Really?
You know, yeah. 91, 92, you know, it was still pretty spotty. And there were a lot of bars that didn't have anything. You still didn't have, you know, even Sam Adams or Sierra, really.
I'd like to read the follow-up book to that, Bar Flies of the Silicon Valley.
Yeah. You should write. You could research for that, JP. That's right up your alley.
552 bars, checking out the chicks.
Going to hang out places and not talking to anybody. You can handle this book, JP.
Well, yeah. Me and Schumann.
You and Schumann both.
We did give each bar a score for what we thought the pickup potential was.
Oh, you did?
In the book. Yeah,
yeah. What was your rating system for that?
Like 1 to 5.
I see.
Yeah.
Like 3 vaginas was...
I think we had a silhouette of a woman for the icon or something. For
nice.
Yeah. Something like that.
I think I remember reading that because
really?
All the time I moved up to Northern California, I knew nothing around here. So I got...
So of course you would get the bar guidebook.
There's a brew pub guide that was out. Mm-hmm. There was a bar
on
guide.
Tap was out, I think, at that time.
Yeah, there was a couple of them out. So I would go and venture out and try to check out these places.
Nice.
As much as I didn't have kids at the time. I was new to the area.
Yeah. Go check it out.
Yeah. And my wife was usually on some business trip off somewhere. In the
east, so you needed the chick guide, too.
You know?
Just for the scenery.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they probably are good conversationalists.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Of course. They want to talk about dental work.
I could sit and drink beers with ugly old men all day, but...
Yeah. Agreed.
I'd rather just sit not talk to anybody like JP.
Like JP and stare at some nice things.
Hey, it works for me.
Yeah.
Now, were there any great beer bars, though, that you remember? Maybe even if they're not here anymore.
You know, the ones that were the best at the time were more often... there were a couple of British-style pubs that had a better selection. Britannia Arms.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's still around.
Yeah. There's I think there's 3 of them, but the original one, Sue and Tom, are the owners, and... really good people.
In Campbell, and, I think, right?
There is one in Campbell. The one I used to go to was Cupertino.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And there's Paul and Eddie's Monta Vista Inn. I know the guy that runs that place. I've known him for years, and that's a pretty good place.
I think I had I had a disco band that played at the Britannia Arms in Cupertino.
Nice.
I wore a big afro and bell bottoms and played at that place. And I remember, I was a beer geek then too. The rest of my band wasn't. They didn't care what we got, but I always liked getting those gigs because we essentially played for a couple $100 and beer, right? That's the band gig, especially when you kind of suck like we did. And so, but I used to love going there because I could get good British beer.
How can you suck at disco? You're already in that realm.
That's how bad I am, yeah.
You played the More Beer opening party, didn't you?
Oh, we did. That's true.
You guys were great.
Did you liked that, did you, JP?
I think I have a picture of it somewhere on a computer or hard drive somewhere.
You don't have to find that picture.
No, I think I should.
Yeah.
With Plissé doing drums.
That's right. John Plissé played drums with us. All right, let's stay focused here, JP.
Hey, you brought it up.
Yeah.
This show is all about tangents.
Yeah. There weren't really any dedicated what you'd call a beer bar the way you think of them today.
Okay.
No. I mean, there were bars that had better selections than other places, but it was more, I don't want to say accidental, but it wasn't. I mean, people didn't set out to go, I'm going to have a multi-tap beer bar because there's all these great craft beer out there. I mean, it hadn't really hit that tipping point yet, and people weren't as aware of it.
Theme bars.
Yeah.
British pubs, Irish pubs, stuff like that, and they would have a theme, and that kind of catered more to that.
But as recently as like 1990, I couldn't find Sierra Nevada in a California bar?
Well, I didn't mean to suggest none, but now I think of... You know, almost any bar today, even if it has almost all crap, will have usually at least Sam Adams and Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And at that time, that still wasn't the case. I mean, you'd find it, but it wasn't ubiquitous the way it is now.
Man, the world is such a better place.
Isn't it?
Well, and the same could be said like for airports now, too, for example.
Absolutely.
You can be in almost any airport and still get a Sam Adams or Sierra or something. Like, whereas, you know, 10 years ago, Sam Adams has been around for 10 years in places. But, anyway, it's now... Did you make money on this book? Was this the time that you went, okay, this is something I can do?
No, this was a sideline. This actually grew out of a funny event that happened when I was younger. My I was married before I am now. My first wife.
Okay.
Her.
That's very un-Catholic of you, Jay.
Well, I'm not Catholic.
Lutheran.
They you just went to classes
that.
For it.
It's Lutheran.
Yeah, Lutheran. Yeah, I grew up Lutheran.
It's almost Catholic.
Oh, yeah, I thought exactly. Any catechism was always Catholic.
Yeah, Lutherans do it too. They're this close.
Yeah. I see.
I think that's the new
Warcraft. Like Catholic life.
Just a couple chapters off.
That's the new Warcraft expansion. Catechism.
Yeah.
So it is. It comes out in like December.
Oh boy.
My first father-in-law was principal at the school district. District there, and two of the teachers there wrote a book called The Bars of Reading.
The Bars of Reading?
Reading. Yeah, Reading, Pennsylvania.
So it was like, okay.
It was a four-page book still, even in Reading, Pennsylvania. Come on.
It wasn't that big. It was really a pamphlet, honestly.
A threefold.
You could have it made at Kinko's tomorrow. That's how...
But it was hilarious. They had it was like Suds and I can't remember the other nom de plume that the guys came up with because they didn't want to reveal who they were.
Yeah.
And there were actually a lot of like shitty dive corner bars all over the city. But it was always a fun project. And they got on the Tonight Show.
That's kind of cool.
With Johnny Carson. And my father-in-law wouldn't let him go, so they just went anyway.
Wow.
He was such a jackass.
Oh.
I was always in the back of my mind that they did this, and we had nothing to do one summer around, 1991. And this came back to me. I remembered this, and we thought, well, why don't we just go visit every bar this summer and see what happens? And so that was really the genesis of that book. It wasn't... It wasn't a career decision or anything. It was more. It kind of grew out of boredom and wanting to find out what else we could find to drink.
Was it all a write-off because you were doing it for research? And...
I did write off all the bar tabs and everything that year. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a legitimate tax.
Of course.
So
I see a Bars of Pacheco book in our future.
Yeah, we will get it made just at the Pacheco Kinko's.
Yes. And, or you can download as a PDF for $1.
Dude, let's do this. That'd be fantastic. But we need to research for the whole summer. Even though there's only three bars in Pacheco, we still need to, we want to be thorough.
Don't forget the bowling alley.
Yeah. Right. And we might have a toothless rating in our book rather than a pickup rating is what might be more accurate. So
dress code, three teeth.
Yes.
Penicillin shot rating. Have little hyperdermic needles.
We could have that, too. These are good ideas, JP. Write this stuff down.
And a danger.
I've filed it.
Danger with guns.
Yeah, that's true. How much protection you have to bring? Do you have to bring Chad with you or not? Yeah. So... At what point do you get to quit having a, again, forgive the term, real job, and have a dream job,
You can answer your own question.
Yeah.
Well, for you, when did
for
you
me,
I quit when I got a bunch of people to start working for free.
That's a key.
By the way, my check bounced again.
Shit. Sorry, man.
For me, it didn't happen until about 8 years ago. I mean, until my wife finished law school and...
Okay. Oh, you're smart. And, so you scoped out a lawyer abroad.
Well, we talked ahead of time. She wanted to do the career thing, and I
And you didn't.
It's also his second wife.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, you generally are a smarter, more selective in that.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
my only real worry is I'm the first husband.
Got it. So she doesn't have the prior.
No.
But this has been going on for a while. How long have you been married?
We've been married 13 years.
Oh, you're fine now, right? Knock on wood. I don't want to jinx you.
Yeah,
but
thanks.
I think everything's okay.
I hope so.
So that was that she thought, well, listen, I do want to do the career. And you thought, hey, I don't mind being a stay-at-home dad.
I mean, to be honest, I never really wanted kids, but she did, and I wanted to be with her. So that was sort of the trade-off, and she always wanted the career, so I said I would be the parent. And,
okay.
That's great.
It really is great.
So, yeah. And
your name's
not
Johnston.
What's that?
And your name's not Johnston.
And my name's not Johnston.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. I used the book to get, and my prior buying experience to get the job as buyer of Beverages & More. I was the beer buyer there for about 5 years.
Okay.
In between. And then...
And that you were able to do part-time also?
No, that was full-time while she was going to law school. So I
understand.
So I put her through law school.
Got it.
I was working while she was going to school. And then after that, when our son was coming along and somebody needed to take care of him, I stopped doing that. And she went, and she did the
and now she practices
corporate
law.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
How was that beer buyer's gig? And you did it for a little while.
It was enjoyable. It was educational. It was too many hours, and you know, I mean, it was a
what's a day like as a beer? I mean, are you really sampling stuff people are sending
that's
you?
Not, you know, that's not the biggest part of it. I mean, you do. I mean, I know buyers for big chains that don't sample, and in fact, a lot of chains, especially grocery chains, the buyers, the beverage buyers, don't even like the products they're buying.
Wow.
You know, they're big corporate mentalities that sure. take a position that, you know, if you can buy this, you can buy that. You know, it's widgets and it, mm-hmm. you know.
Got it.
It doesn't matter.
What's selling.
Something else
right,
to add
sure.
to the basket.
And there's a certain amount of truth to that. I mean, you know, you do watch sales trends and decide what you're going to do based on that. But, I mean, I always tried to take a different approach just because that's me.
Yeah.
And they did focus on craft beer and still do sure. to a greater extent than, you know, most grocery stores and a lot of other places too. So
did you write those little, you know, we see those placards on
I
the shelf?
I wrote a lot of them, not all of them, but yeah, some of them I'll still see and I'll recognize that I wrote that one.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Points at something.
Yeah.
You recognize.
Well, and yeah, the ones that get points aren't mine because I don't care for that.
but some stuff I don't even, never heard of this.
Right.
Where the hell did you get 95 points from this place? Like,
from this
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
Well, they created their own tasting panel.
Yeah.
And this was oh. after I left. And
okay.
that's who they gave themselves the points.
Well, I like that, though. That's better than like a guy giving the points.
Yeah.
I'd rather it be a panel.
No, yeah. No. I mean, it's slightly better. And there's yeah. no... I mean, they really did have people sit down in a room and go, okay, we like this. We don't like this.
If you don't have a BevMo in your area, what we're talking about is you can go to this big beverage store and, right. and virtually for every beer, there's some small description and then now a point also.
Sometimes, yeah.
They have everything alcohol there. So it's like yeah. the hugest yeah. liquor store
yeah.
ever.
And
it's basically
snacks.
A candy store for
yeah,
adults.
The alcoholics toy
yeah.
store.
Yeah. yeah.
It is.
It is.
And my only complaint about it, not that this is even relevant, is that all of that beer is so warm.
Yeah.
But other than that, I actually really like BevMo, and I think they do make a good effort to bring in good... Mm-hmm. Well, maybe yeah. you could answer that better than me. It seems like they make a good effort to bring in a quality beer.
They
a variety,
do.
Anyway.
They do.
Discount.
Yeah.
And discount, right.
Yeah. I mean, I'd want to... I'd rather not say too much, I guess, about
okay. Sure, no problem.
You know, that. I mean, I think they do a better job than most. I think they did a better job when I was there. But
I see.
But,
we do like BevMo.
But that's just me.
Like BevMo. And,
yeah.
I mean, and to,
yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And to find a better source of craft beer, you have to go to a specialty liquor store.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no in between. There's
no.
just there's
yeah. You've
got
to go to like City Beer Store or a Belmont yeah. Station in Portland, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are really few and far between, sadly.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got the BevMo job, put wife through school. She gets out. She gets the job. Now you start your family. You're a stay-at-home dad. At what point are you a paid beer journalist? Are you writing about beer other than that book before your blog?
No, not for the blog. But I'd been doing tastings with Tom Daldorf, who is the publisher of the Celebrator Beer News. And so when I left Beverages & More, he invited me to work with him, and he let me take my son. I took Porter with me to work every day.
Yes, folks, Jay's son's name is Porter. This is why he's on the program today. This is how beer-centric this man is.
I'd like to know what that conversation with your wife was like.
Yeah.
Okay, you're out of school. We have the kids. We've done all that you want to do.
I get to name them.
I get to name them, and I think it's time at my career. Kicks into high gear.
Yeah. Maybe his wife was a really big Mel Gibson fan from the movie Payback, and she Porter worked.
And that was okay.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah, she's not a big Mel Gibson fan, as it happens, sadly.
Go.
But we're
Scott.
Both pretty anal.
It's a Porter reference. Porter.
Yeah,
the guy's name was Porter.
Yeah, the character name.
Character was Porter. Jesus.
We're pretty anal retentive, and so we went through this really laborious process to come up with names for the kids. We didn't know if we were going to have a boy or a girl, so... through this tortured process that I won't detail.
I've been there.
We came up with five girl names and five boy yeah. names, and then we were going to wait until the kid was born and then decide based
like.
On that. In fact, Brewer
Bud,
made the shortlist.
Porter,
as a first
Sierra.
Brewer.
Brewer?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, as a first name.
Brewer.
Wow.
That's
but
nice.
So you didn't learn the sex of the kid before.
Right.
I applaud you, sir.
I don't. I don't understand.
No. Because it's a surprise. Come on. Yeah. You don't want to know the sex like 2 months into
you
the
know,
thing.
It was probably
yeah, you do.
Surprise.
Yeah,
surprise. You're pregnant is enough of a surprise.
Well, that's true.
No, we didn't want to have it announced in that cold, sterile room
right.
with the the ultrasound part. So we had the doctor write it on a card. Tell us. We went out to dinner.
You would too.
We wrote it down on a card.
How romantic.
Romantic dinner, and we
How
opened
controlling.
It up there. Yeah. So it was kind of that way. It wasn't so sterile. And
sure.
Like, you're having a boy. Look.
Yeah. Look, there's his little wang.
Yeah, there's his wang.
That is like a rock star thing. That says a lot about Doc for some reason.
I actually didn't think he was that romantic. I'm surprised to hear that.
Well, I don't think it's romantic. He just wanted to have control over the doctor. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
you're not going to tell
me.
You tell me on my
turn.
We
both knew that we wanted to know ahead of time.
Right.
But it was how we got to learn that little.
Were there other beer names on this list, Jay?
Yeah, well, Brewer and Porter were the only two that were beer names.
Krausen didn't make it?
No.
Columbus.
Well, I found Porter in a baby name book, so it had a certain legitimacy to
it. Sure. Yeah.
There you go. Cascade would make a good girl name.
Yeah. I know at least one or two
in the
Brewers who have Ambers for daughters.
Ah, yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
That is easy.
Gino from El Toro. His daughter's name's Amber.
Okay.
And I know a couple of there's somebody in the Midwest whose last name begins with the letter B, and I don't know the full names, but it's like they named their kids something like Elizabeth, Samantha,
Britannomyces.
Right. Yeah. So the initials are ESB.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Which I thought that was sort of clever.
That is pretty cool.
I like that.
Good twist.
Your boy's name's Brett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Brett.
Yeah. And his middle
name
is Britannomyces.
Yes. So Tom let you bring Porter, your son, to the gig to go review beers for Celebrator. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I started out, I think for one issue I was the assistant editor, and then after that I was the general manager.
All right.
And so I was there every day. I did all the sort of day-to-day stuff and, for a couple of years. And then the only reason really I left that job was Porter, when he turned 3, he still wasn't talking, and we didn't really know why. And we got a diagnosis that he was autistic.
I see.
And so
when do children usually begin talking?
1 year, roughly. And, all the doctors were like, everybody's different. He'll be coming along. And then he didn't. Eventually it was, there were other signs and more worrisome things. And that was a rough time. But, so I left the Celebrator then, and that's when I started blogging, actually.
Okay.
Because I was home all the time. There were no adults. And we used to get, calls and emails from friends and relatives all over, who we knew around the country. And I'd have to tell them the same things over and over again about how Porter was doing and what things were doing. So I started a family blog, actually.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
And that way people could check in about, what was going on, how things were. And I found that I really enjoyed, doing that, writing every day. And
so what year is this happening?
This would have been when he was 3, so that would have been 2004.
Okay.
Well, that answered my question was, how did you go from band dude to
beer buyer
and then writing and
I've left out steps, certainly.
Yeah.
He was a crackhead for a couple years.
Some people have been writers all their life.
Yeah. Well, I always did write for myself, not necessarily as a profession. I worked as a law clerk for a lawyer for about 8 years, and I did a lot of legal and persuasive writing and really enjoyed that aspect of the job. Was, writing opinions and trying to persuade a judge of a certain position. So
my client is innocent.
nasty letters.
Yeah.
Cease and desist.
Yeah, not so much. Well, occasionally. But yeah, so always there was some aspect of writing in any job I had, and I always seemed to gravitate toward that, I think. So I wrote the newsletters for the beer portion of stuff at Beverages and More. Like, basically any job I had, the writing part of it always sort of seemed to come to the top. I kept writing for the Celebrator even
when you stayed home.
Even when I stayed home.
Okay.
So I kept doing that for about a year, and then Porter made such amazing progress. He really did a good job responding to, we had tutors, and there was a special schools that he went to, et cetera. And by about a year and a half into it, so when he was maybe four and a half, he had almost caught up to his peers.
Wow.
Which was remarkable.
How old is he now?
He's 8 now. and doing great in second grade. And
wow,
yeah.
Is it weird that like people that you like? We've run into each other at a couple of festivals and stuff, but we never really. I knew your kid was 8. Is that weird? That because you blog about it or whatever, and it's like, is that kind of weird for you? You know,
I just thought you had radar.
You know, some people I know are really. I have some friends who are just really afraid of social media. You know, they don't want to reveal too much, and they're afraid things are going to happen.
They have to whisper when they say the word Facebook.
Exactly. Right, like cancer. You know, that same idea, kind of thing.
I know those people are weird.
But I don't know. I've never really been that way. You know, and I found that, and I guess it's everybody has to find their own voice their own way. And I found that I just want to be honest with people when I'm writing about anything. And if it's about beer, I'm writing about what I'm thinking at that any particular time. And people I talk to seem to appreciate that. Like, it's not a cold voice. I'm not talking about, you know, only the product, but I'm bringing sort of personal things into it. And it kind of makes, I hope, the voice more personal, and so people seem to respond better to it, you know, than if it was just this antiseptic, you know, third person sort of way people write in, you know, newspapers, or, you know, where it's just, you know, it's very, here are the facts and here's what happened, and I, you know, I could do that, but
it's a bore.
Yeah, it can be.
And I don't see. I wouldn't want to do it myself, for one. That it would bore me to write it, and it bores me to read it. So it was definitely, you know, what got me interested in your blog was having a personal side, and then I didn't mind. And I got to get us to a break. We're gonna talk a little more about this too. That I didn't mind that you were putting your opinion into these articles that you're writing about beer. You know, you would go. Here's what I envision. You know, here you are looking at the day's news. You've got your search terms. You're finding out what's happening, and then you're not just delivering what happened in the process. And sometimes it pissed you off what was happening, or sometimes you just had a something else to add to the story, and that to me was the more interesting part, because I could search the same headlines
exactly
as you,
that's exactly right, and it felt like there's no good reason to just take the, you know, this news, aggregate it and push it forward without commenting on it.
I agree, it's being done.
You kind of take it apart too.
I try to.
I was reading your blog, and you know what you're saying is everything I'm thinking too. And I started thinking about a different way of.
Right.
You're saying this because there's people out there that aren't thinking of it that
exactly.
way. Hey, wake up.
Yeah.
And it made a lot more sense that way.
Well, and when we get to the neo-prohibitionist agenda,
Tasty wanted to make sure that we really get that out of you.
Well, and that'll come out. And that is exactly why I do that. And I get shit from it from other people in the industry, actually, for kind of a gone on the attack against, you know, that kind of things. They think we should be quiet and just let them alone. Yeah. And they don't. And I've had numerous conversations with different people in the industry who don't feel that there really is any threat. And I think they're wrong. And so I take this really sort of hardcore stance whenever I see this just sort of mischief being done by
or the one-sided story
groups.
The one-sided story, and I always look at it that way. It's who's paying for this, and or there's got to be another side to it, but they skew it to the other way.
Exactly.
And so many people think, well, if it's written there, that must be all true,
right? Well, and that's it. I mean, I think, you know, civilians, you know, just regular readers who are reading a newspaper, they tend to believe what they read in newspapers. I mean, I think we all want to believe what we read.
Research
in
the check.
Well, exactly. And if, you know, anybody out there probably can recognize this with whatever job they have. If they're if they work for an airline or if they whatever they do, if they read a news story about it, they're always say, "Oh my God, they got everything wrong."
They can see the flaws.
They can see the flaws. Right. And so I do that with beer, and people do that with everything else, and that suggests to me that everything gets done wrong. And it's because people at newspapers, God bless them, they're in a hurry. They've got deadlines.
They're not experts.
They're not experts. They're particularly in a bad situation right now, you know, they're not making any money. People are losing their jobs.
Right.
So they rely much more heavily on press releases that, you know, that people send them, and they can't, you know, get the other side, as frequently. And so it isn't necessarily all malicious and all there. Right.
And they've only got so much room.
Exactly. So
I prefer when people just listen to my side.
Sure. Don't we all?
The BN slant is always good.
Sure.
Let me get us to it. Let me get us to a quick break. We'll cover this when we come back. We got Jay Brooks on the show with us today. And you can go to the BrooksonBeerBulletin.com and check it out if you haven't already. We'll be right back. It's The Session. Hang in there.
You're listening to The Brewcasters. Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their Williams German Pils is mashed with pure German Moravian two-row barley malt for a light blonde color and malty Christmas you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out their unique fermenters, draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and more. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection and enter promo code BREW at the order checkout for $5 off your next order over $50. Orders placed by 3 p.m. ship the same day. Again, go to williamsbrewing.com and enter promo code BREW at checkout for $5 off your next order. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Are you looking for a discount on hops? Keep listening. Nico's Homebrew Supply at NicoBrew.com has hops by the ounce and by the pound. Choose from varieties like Amarillo, Centennial, East Kent Goldings, Holler Tower, Simcoe, Summit, Tomahawk, Warrior, Willamette, and more. And adding new varieties all the time, many for less than $20 a pound. Whether a couple ounces at a time or an 11-pound bag, all hops are shipped vacuum-sealed and frozen straight to you. Nico's Homebrew Supply offers store-wide $5 flat-rate shipping and won't waste your money on unnecessary overhead or advertising. They're going bare bones and passing the savings on to you. The staff at Nico's Homebrew Supply loves to brew and is committed to keeping homebrewing affordable and accessible to anyone who wants to join in this great hobby. And for a limited time, use coupon code BNARMY at checkout for a Brewing Network discount. Visit NicoBrew.com. That's NicoBrew.com for your hops and more. NicoBrew.com, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Hilo, what's it feel like?
Take awesome and multiply it by two?
Yeah!
Spraying live beer radio all over your face.
Can't get it!
way better than this, baby.
It's the Brewing Network.
The Brewing Network. Saving your life.
One beer at a time.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Wow, you lucked out on a short break there, folks at home. I tried to give us a long one, and I screwed it up. So now me and Jay are back on the air with you. And it's a good thing. We've got some stuff to talk about here. And Jay, really glad you made it out. And before we move on, because we're going to get into something that's going to keep us going for a while, I'm sure of it. But I did want to ask, you went to a beer festival today that I didn't get to go to.
Yep.
And I thought maybe we could get a quick report on that while we're at it.
Well, it was the first time this particular festival was put on. It was in conjunction with Beverages and More. They did a holiday festival. Jeff Moses, who's a local festival promoter, does the Monterey Beer Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple others organized it. And it's the first time they've done it. It was at Fort Mason, pretty good location.
Okay.
The idea is to have it be a holiday beer festival. Maybe a third of the beers there were winter holiday beers, and then the other two-thirds were a mix of just regular beers. And
so it wasn't pumpkin beer after spice ale after.
No.
Okay.
There were
more pumpkin beer.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there were plenty of holiday beers there, but it wasn't all that it was. And what differentiates it from, I think, a lot of the festivals is they also had imported beer and not just craft. But
And was this out at Fort Mason in San Francisco?
Yeah, Herb's Pavilion at Fort Mason. Same place Slow Food Nation was.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Oh, so a small area then right there.
Yeah, okay. It was just inside there. In fact, it wasn't even the whole pavilion, but maybe about half of it probably.
So how many breweries were represented, would you
guess? I
think
about 100.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, some were doubled up. Some of the the imported brands, that one table would have two or three brands depending on who the importer was, something like that. But
so you're pretty clear and coherent right now for having been at a generally probably high gravity brew fest all day.
Well, I am a professional.
Absolutely.
A drinking pro.
Did you have anything that you have not had before, that anything notable?
It was my first chance to try Anchor's Christmas Ale for this year.
Oh yeah.
That's always a treat.
It was good, I imagine.
It was good. It was still a little green, I think. It needs a little time. There haven't been a lot of changes on it probably the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. It used to kind of go seesaw up and down a lot more, seemed to be changed a lot more from year to year, say in the mid to late 90s.
More drastic.
Yeah. And so it wasn't any big surprises from the last couple of years, but, it's still one of my favorite holiday beers. So that
I
was,
agree with you.
Yeah.
Any weird spiced ingredients that you hadn't encountered before? I like to see that sometimes, not just the standard nutmeg and,
Me too. I would like to see more of that. I actually really like spicy beer. I think if you're going to do a spicy beer, do a spicy beer. Don't puss out on it.
Really?
Don't chicken out on it.
See, I'm surprised to hear you say that, Jay. In fact, I was going to mention we had a nice pumpkin beer from a home brewer this weekend, and my whole praise for him was that he didn't overdo it on the spice.
It was still in balance.
It was a beer, and then it had some spice in it. But you really wanted to go for it.
Well, I mean, I still want the balance, but I want to see the spices pronounced. I mean, I want. Pike used to do. Actually, they started doing it again. Old acquaintance, and I think they've reduced the amount of spice in it. But once upon a time, it used to be really spicy.
Really,
and that orange label, like a
Santa Claus
silk screen label or something,
something like that.
That was real good.
I find a spicy beer like that works just great with turkey and cranberry sauce, and so that's what I want for my Thanksgiving day. I want a big spicy beer and I don't put gravy on my turkey. I'm a weirdo. I realize that.
It's dry.
So I love it dry. So then to have the spicy beer with the dry turkey to me is
I hate it when you get a real spicy beer and somebody next. That's not beer. It's not beer anymore. There's too much of this and too much of this.
That's what Justin
beer.
Says.
Yeah.
That person doesn't get an invite next year.
Yeah. They're probably German.
Yeah. So am I. But
I don't know.
I still
just
like it that way.
I don't want it to taste like just like the pie. If I want to taste pumpkin pie, I'll have pumpkin pie. That's all
I mean.
Yeah,
you can't
get drunk
on pumpkin pie.
Yeah, that's true.
I've tried.
Scott has really tried.
I didn't get drunk. I got fat.
8 pies in. So was there anything on the list today that you will bring to your table for the turkey then, Jay? Or?
I haven't decided yet what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'll probably bring do what I've been doing, which is I have a rotating 8-year-old magnums of Anchor Christmas Ale, so I'll open the 8-year-old this year, purchase a new one, and then next year.
Great. So dinner's a win.
Yeah. Well, it'll be Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
Why 8 years? What did that?
Well, I was doing 10 actually, and I'd found that 10 and 9 was starting to turn.
Okay.
It wasn't holding up quite as much, and as they've been reducing the spices, I don't think they'll age as well for as long either.
So you might have to go down.
So I might have to
6.
Go down again. Yeah, it's possible. In which case, I'll have to have two magnums that year.
Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yeah.
What does your beer cellar or beer fridge look like? Because you do a lot of reviewing.
I do. I've got 4 refrigerators.
Wow.
3 are dedicated to just beer. 1 is my wife's refrigerator.
Which is dedicated to what?
Anything she's allowed to drink.
I see.
So anything I have duplicates of or don't need any more of, I put into her refrigerator. And then
keep her away from your shit.
Exactly right.
It's research. I was going to write about that.
That's your job.
Right. Well, I used to put little dots on it, and she would just ignore them. So I found that just
don't go
giving
there.
Her own refrigerator has really done the trick. So
where do you keep all these refrigerators?
The garage. They're in the garage.
The man cave.
Yeah, I guess. It's a cave. It's more of I think it's more of the kids' cave. I think there's more boxes of toys
and
than
stuff,
anything
yeah.
else. Yeah.
Throw them away.
Throw them away.
They won't notice that they're gone.
Yeah, that's what my wife wants to do. But I went through a great deal of trauma with that when I was a child. So
I have so many toys that I don't know what happened to. That
right.
It would have made me money on eBay.
Yeah, right. I still wish all my Star Wars stuff got thrown out, man.
Oh, I had Major Matt Mason. It was like...
But you did.
It was the precursor to that kind of thing. It was the kids' action figure thing, but it was all space... Because Apollo was going on and all that kind of stuff. And
Major into Matt
Mason. I don't remember Matt Mason.
Yeah, and you go on eBay, and it's just like, oh, my God.
Lots of money now.
I think you just made it up.
My mom was a purger.
She used to throw up a lot.
My baseball cards.
She would just get rid of stuff and not tell you about it until... And you know what? To tell you the truth, I didn't notice it for a while.
Yeah.
And my kids, they leave something laying there on the floor.
It's
you can get rid of it.
Yeah.
They won't notice it.
So, 4 refrigerators full of beer is what you have.
Well, 4 total fridges, 3 of beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and 1 of overflow beer.
Yeah.
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 So, it's a lot of beer at your house.
That's a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Do you homebrew at all?
Yeah, asked that, too.
I don't anymore. I used to in the late 80s. I did for about 3 years, probably.
Okay. Do you consider yourself a good brewer?
No.
Or Jay
no,
Brewer.
You didn't. Okay.
Well,
like me.
I kind of stopped before. I was still using carboys, and I wasn't doing all malt.
Okay.
And I thought about taking that next step, and that would have required investment and time.
Right.
And it was about the same time we were moving, and I got the job at Beverages and More, and started getting more samples than I knew what to do with. So it just didn't make sense. When my son turns, I don't know, either 10 or 12, I'll probably start up again and do it with him.
Oh, cool.
He's expressed an interest in wanting to learn about it. And
get him drunk.
No.
Get him drunk.
Hey, don't get child services out on me.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Germany works so well. They get the kids in early.
Yeah. Respect it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that.
He's interested. He sees the beer in the house all the time, and he's been to more breweries than, the average adult.
Yeah.
So he's, he understands that it's this process. And so I think it'll be a good father-son bonding thing, and who knows, maybe you'll end up being a brewer.
Did you ever think of becoming a brewer as well, or owning a brewery? I mean, was this in your radar?
No, not really. I more enjoy just, and drinking it than the manufacturer.
Hanging out in the hallway.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. Who's checking the gate?
I've done the short course at UC Davis
cool.
to because I, when I write about technical things, I don't want to get them wrong.
Yeah. Okay. You know. So you did. Wow. Yeah. You are more dedicated than me, Jay. I just spout out bullshit until someone calls me on it. You went and took the course.
I did.
That's really a smart move, I think.
You got to try homebrewing again. It's changed a lot.
I'm so sure it will. Yeah.
So much easier to get quality things.
That's what I hear, and I will in probably 2 to 4 years. I'll start again.
With the kid.
Yeah, Porter's 8. I figure when he's 10, between 10 and 12, I'll start up again.
He gets to learn chemistry?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I'm thinking. There's a lot of...
History,
yeah. He's pretty detail-oriented already, even at his age. So I think he'll take to it. So we'll see.
I'd like to taste a Jay Brooks beer, a Jay Brooks homebrew, you know? Share it out at the festivals with us.
I've got the labels.
Oh, you do already?
Sure.
Have you ever shared that on your site with the family or anything?
I think I have. Yeah, when I was at Beverages & More, one of the contract beers that we developed is they wanted to do one that had my name on it. So we actually, the graphic design people, it's J.R. Brooks.
Oh, nice.
It's got this sort of English look, coat of arms sort of look to it. And we were going to do an IPA and a Amber, I think.
That's impressive. Everybody likes Jay. Do you ever have any enemies, Jay?
I think he's an asshole.
Scott's your enemy.
But you're sitting next to him.
Yeah.
He wouldn't give me any of his Lay's potato chips.
I mean, the BevMo wants to make a beer after you. Everybody in the industry loves your blog. Do you have any?
I'm sure I do.
Must have somebody who doesn't like bullshit you spout every day.
Well, you know, I do get a fair amount of angry emails.
You do?
Yeah, especially when I spout off about the anti-alcohol movement. I've gotten a few really scathing emails that people saying things they'd never say to another person if they were standing in front of them.
We enjoy that email.
I'd like to read those.
How do you feel about that? That's going over. Grab that off of the... We had a gusher here in the studio.
It's only like $30,000 worth of radio equipment. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, I stole most of it anyway. Well, it's fine.
Yeah. Free labor.
It's all hot.
Well, it cost someone $30,000.
Yeah, that's right.
Free labor.
Yeah.
I tend to ignore them.
You do?
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And there's, I'll be honest, there are times that it can disrupt my day.
Sure.
That there's, when it really comes from a place, that feels angry, like truly, But for the most part, I enjoy it, especially because in general, it's just people not getting it,
right,
or not being able to handle a difference of opinion.
Yeah,
and so that stuff never bothers me. It's just enjoyable to read, and we try to put it all in the air too.
Oh, really?
I'd love to read some of your hate mail, Jay.
No, I delete a lot of it. So
I don't think Justin has ever got scathing stuff back that he's never thought, oh, I wish I didn't say that. Maybe he's right. No.
Yeah, that's true.
let's talk about this.
But I am never wrong, so I think it makes it easier for me to read hate mail.
Sure, understandable.
You understand.
It just like drips you off you like a Teflon.
Yeah. So one of the themes, and we started to touch on this, one of the themes that gets you riled up is, and you should really start from the beginning for at least break it down, is neo-prohibitionists. And what even is that, Jay? What does that mean to you?
Well, I mean, that to me, that is, neo-new prohibitionists. There are, I believe, a number of people and organizations who would like to see another prohibition of all alcohol across the country.
Another prohibition.
Yep.
Yeah, because it worked so well the first time.
Exactly.
Yeah, it worked well, yeah.
But, really, prohibitionists never really went away, to be honest with you. The prohibitionist, the political party, is still here. They run a candidate every 4 years, believe it or not.
Is that right?
Yeah. They don't get a lot of press, but they're still here.
Maybe we can infiltrate.
They're riding a wave.
Scott's still squeaky clean. Yeah, he could maybe be our candidate.
Yeah. They wouldn't know.
And they were still...
They wouldn't know.
They were still pretty much of a threat after Prohibition. They were the people who initially worked to get regulations about advertising, where alcohol could be advertised, how it could be advertised. They figured since they lost the battle of Prohibition, they tried to figure other ways to kind of...
Underground stuff.
Yeah, push it out away.
You mean Budweiser doesn't care when their ads run? It's somebody else governing that? I figured it was them.
No.
Oh, man. Man. I lost all respect for.
Are they still as ugly as they used to be?
Yeah.
The neo-prohibition. Yeah. I think they're more ugly now than they used to be.
They should put out a calendar to raise money for their.
They really lost. They were around after Prohibition, and they kept their tentacles in politics and trying to do things. And the brewers were aware of it. They did PR campaigns. One I just wrote about, and it's in the new All About Beer magazine, about Beer Belongs. It was a great program that ran from 1945 to 1956 with these beautiful Norman Rockwell looking, you know, paintings and beer, America's Drink of Moderation, and they showed food pairings. You know, this was back in the late 40s and early 50s. I mean, what we're doing isn't really new. But by about the early 60s, the prohibitionists at that were really kind of marginalized and weren't really a force, and the brewers stopped, and you know they kind of went away until about early 1980s when Mad came, you know, kind of roaring into everybody's.
See, Mad is the one that's transparent to me. That
Mad Magazine?
I can see that there. Yes.
Yeah, Alfred E. Newman.
M-A-D-D.
Yeah, no, they're the ones that, you know, that I can see. I always agree with you and I read about. And that's who I think of. That's kind of the face to me. But that's really only the transparent one, isn't it?
Yeah. The ringleader, if you will, is the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. They've spent about $265 million over the last, I think, 7 years.
Wow.
And they're the ones that really set the agenda for the majority of the other neo-prohibitionist groups. That's where it all starts in most cases.
I wonder if they'd sponsor the program.
Yeah.
Talk about selling out.
Right.
I'll take their $265 million. I will talk about how much beer sucks for the next 2 years.
Oh, for sure.
The evils.
You know, a lot of radio stations flip.
That's right. Yeah. We can flip tomorrow. And it
we'll
happens like with
format,
you tune in next Sunday and we are the anti-beer show.
I would hate beer for that shit.
I got Sully on the line. He's got a question for Jay. Sully, I didn't fly Virgin America today. I apologize.
That's fine. They don't fly to where you were anyway, so
okay,
I'll give you this time.
It's excuse.
They fly to where Sully goes.
How are you, brother?
I'm doing well. It's great to hear Jay on the show. He's a great historian of the craft beer movement and monitors those things. But there's one thing that hasn't come out in this interview yet, and I'm actually surprised. And I thought I'd out him right now.
Oh, great. What size pump
do
you wear?
No, it wasn't that incident. It wasn't that incident in London years ago, Jay.
Oh, it wasn't that one?
Well, actually, it is. When are you going to talk about your obsession with the French fry?
Anytime anybody wants to.
And the blog and the blog about the French fry.
You have a whole... there's a French fry thing?
Yeah. Separate French fry blog?
Yeah,
it's not a blog. It's a fetish.
Yeah.
That you own?
What, girls eating...
That you maintain?
Girls eating French fries?
Well, what is it? Give me the address.
By maintain... what is the address? Freetsfan.blogspot.com.
That is a fetish site. You have to pay a monthly fee. Is there like a webcam of fries cooling on the windowsill?
Yeah, there's pictures of me lathering myself in...
in mayonnaise and fry oil.
Sleeping in a sea of French fries.
But as you can see, it's been a while since I've updated. I've got a lot of reviews that need to get posted.
So you just love a good fry.
Potato chips and French fries, man, are...
I have a thing about potato chips. My roommate bought me a bag 2 days ago. It's gone.
A Costco-sized bag?
Yeah, like a bag like that from the dollar store. Salt and vinegar.
That would
gone.
That'd be one sitting for me.
Yeah, wow. Well, I try to have some. Like, I'm working on it.
How do you not die?
Jay's still here.
I'm still here. From the time we moved into our house when I was in kindergarten, I ate a 5-pound can of potato chips every single week.
Wow. So have you been to the doctor?
No, I try not to go.
You don't get... We were talking to Sean... Sully and I were grilling Paxton about this last week, because here's another guy who really enjoys his bacon and his fat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we say to him, you know, don't you go, and he doesn't go either.
Right.
And you guys, you prefer not to know.
Sure.
Have you thought about your nephrons lately?
Yeah, no. I try not to. Salt, here's a good one. I don't just salt my fries. I make a little pile and I dip them.
Ah.
Yeah, I've been there for that. Actually, a couple years ago, Jay and I were in England together with Christian Kazikoff, who's now at Iron Springs, and we went to this place called the White Horse, and he had three servings. It wasn't French fries. It was three servings of what was it, Jay? It was a potato.
Oh yeah. Well, it's French fries, but then they're a really nice white cheddar cheese is loaded on top and bacon, but not just bacon bits.
Actual bacon,
like three servings of it. I mean, and I'm like, you know, you could see he'd hold his arm up. You could see the veins. You could see the cholesterol coursing through his veins.
Ah, yeah. I have to admit, I am a big fan of French fries, too, and, like, potato skins and stuff, but not like that. I do have some self-control over it. You have a fetish.
I have a fetish.
I started a blog.
I can't believe that there is a blog, and how did I not know about this
sooner? I know, right?
I don't know.
My friend and I, when we were, like, 14, we used to ride our skateboards down to Carl's Jr., and we used to buy four extra-large French fries and a small drink. And we would load them with as much salt as we could. We call them death fries. What do you want to do? Let's go get some death fries. We would salt the chips. We would salt the ketchup. And they were like, it was like we like cooked them in salt. They were crusted with salt. And we just take turns drinking soda from the small drink. Death fries. Sounds like you still do that. That is awesome, and I applaud you, sir.
Although I don't think of it as death fries.
Yeah. Oh, man. They were hard to eat.
What are the two vegetables from Pennsylvania where you're from?
Oh, salt and lard.
I've given both those for Christmas presents.
And now let me just clarify. Jay is not a giant man. And you would think with this regimen you might be the beer tasting, the fry fetish, the salt and lard. I mean, how is it that do you run every day, Jay?
No. Like he's not exactly a pixie, but he's not.
No,
he's
I don't mean that.
I'm not a waif.
But you could.
Sure.
But you could easily be ginormous, is what I mean.
Sure.
But you're not.
But he's laying back, so he gets the weight off his lungs. He's a smart man.
Yeah.
Well, I only have the one.
My lung feels great.
And I have. I've been wanting to ask this as part of the interview.
Sure.
In a non-offensive way.
Uh-oh.
Were you or are you still today a pothead in your life? Because it goes with your music lifestyle, your laid-back thing.
But not just military lifestyle, music thing.
Well, not since I had kids, really.
Okay. So, but back in the day, you definitely partook in the cousin of hops.
I would never say I didn't inhale.
Okay. Got it.
But if somebody was smoking right now, right in front of your face, you wouldn't pass judgment on them whatsoever.
I would say go for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Daisy's in the room.
Daisy, exactly. Well, and this is what I mean. And I'm going to tell you why it's a valid question. Because there are certain characteristics about people who partake in the weed. And even if they just did it for a period of time, there's a certain amount of casual laid-backness that never goes away.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Or you wouldn't have even partaken in the first place.
Yeah. And so,
maybe it was before they even did it.
I mean, you know, Tasty maybe. And Jay's mannerisms, a little similar.
Yeah.
So slow and awkward, is that what you're saying?
Just
at least awkward.
Yeah, right. All right, these are good questions, Sully. I'm glad you came in with this.
Sully, where are you?
I'm glad I could help out and chime in on that one.
Oh,
hey, Jay, I'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay, good.
Where are you?
I'm at home right now.
Okay.
I'm at the treehouse.
Okay.
Back at the treehouse.
So. Excellent.
All right, brother, thanks.
All right, kids, take care. Bye.
Right, say hi to Ian for me.
Yeah, I gotta know about this stuff. I can't believe you have a
French fry blog.
Yeah.
Oh, my
fetish.
God.
That's the most important
thing.
I'm going to bookmark that.
It's hard to go wrong when you fry potatoes.
It's hard to go wrong when you fry anything.
True. Yeah.
It's hard to go wrong with potatoes.
Well, that's for sure.
Well, now I feel a little bit better about my potato thing. Me, Oprah, and Jay Brooks all have a weird like potato chip nonsense.
No,
I can't.
But only two of those three are successful. Yeah. For what it's
here,
worth.
Give you an example.
I'm not successful, right? That's the one.
No, I'm in Oprah.
No.
Here's a great example of how manic I am about potato chips. First grade, tonsils out. Nothing but ice cream for a week.
Yeah.
First thing I did when I'm home and my parents are out of the room is sneak downstairs and start chomping on the potato chips.
Wow.
The scratchy trick going down your throat.
Didn't bother me a bit.
Our age, they just took your tonsils out no matter what.
Exactly. Yeah. Second I don't even think there was anything wrong. They just didn't like the look of them.
You spent the night in the hospital, and then you went home, they promised you a lot of ice cream.
Yeah.
You got two popsicles out the door.
I was still in that age where I spent the night in the hospital, and I got a little, no one cares.
Yeah, I had to do that,
I'm afraid
too,
we're going to need them later. That's the real worry.
The 50 virgins in heaven that we were promised.
It's 73. 73 virgins.
And the,
we didn't get that. We didn't get
not for tonsils, Scott. Not for tonsils.
And 73 flavors of ice cream we did not get. We got a couple of popsicles and
Chips we used to eat were made by Mennonite farmers, and you could only buy them at one place in the whole world and one day a week at a farmer's market.
They were called Ezekiel chips.
Special chips.
Exactly. Good potato chips.
They weren't heat sealed. They were sewn together.
But you took the can back. You had to pay a deposit on the can.
Oh, you actually had a can.
Wow.
Yeah, a real can. Like a you took bucket. The can back, and they gave you a full one, you know, and you just had a deposit on it.
We got a first name basis?
I'd like to know how many, you know.
We knew them. I visited the farm a couple of times. Yeah, it was like a pilgrimage.
How much grease has run through this man's veins in his life is what I have to know. You know what I mean? You're a well-lubed human being.
Well, I want to be a potato chip historian.
I'm thinking if I stopped, it would probably be bad for my body.
Figure
I've been doing
all these
this
years?
For, you know,
get
50
the DTs.
Years.
So.
You're like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, where you have every disease ever, and one goes away, you die.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, it's a delicate balance.
You can't drop the beer or the freaks, man.
I couldn't get rid of the potatoes, man. Forget it.
I have a listener question for you that I don't understand. It's one of our kooky listeners, too. So, he said he promises Bevo. It's a serious question.
It reads Gluck 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 9.
It is from Blobber Glooby Glob.
We apologize ahead of time.
He's from Canada.
Maybe you all understand. Actually, I tend to be dumb.
Canada.
What are your thoughts about poutine?
Oh, I know what that is.
What is poutine?
That's a potato.
He's the president
of
Russia, right?
That's popular in the Montreal area. It's gravy, I believe. Maybe the listener can help, but I believe it's a certain kind of gravy over the potatoes.
Oh, I see. And did you have it?
I have had it. I tend to be a purist about potatoes. I don't like flavored potato chips. I don't. You know, to me, it's potatoes fried in oil or lard, salt added. That's it. I mean,
Potatoes over others? You know, are you an Idaho potato man?
Russet guy?
I think all the varieties have their place, you know.
As long as the grease is there, that's the main thing.
It's really amazing. You know,
that's the glue that pulls them all together.
Sure. This is what makes it good.
Does it bother you if they're fried in, like, purer oils? You know,
like vegetable oils?
Yeah. No, I mean, it does give them different flavor. In fact, I took the guys from Beer Advocate on a fry crawl last time I was in Boston.
I want to go
like
on a fry crawl, Jay.
I want to marry Jay is what I want to do.
And about halfway, I mean, at first I think they were a little leery.
Sure.
But they were getting into it by about halfway through, and then we were at one place, and they were like, you know, I think this one's done in peanut oil. And I'm like, you know, I think you're right. And so, but it's funny. I mean, you know, the way we critically look at beer, I mean, you can do that to any food,
obviously.
You know, it's just you don't think to a lot of times, and usually you don't think to do it to french fries, but that's really that's really all I'm doing.
So what's your favorite?
You know, it's the same answer that I give for beer. I don't have a single favorite.
Whichever one is fried in front of me.
Yeah, there are things about the different varieties that I like, but I think they all have, you know, like steak fries are, you know, have their place, and I like the if they're soft on the inside and have that hard crust, and then shoestring fries, you know, they're nice and crispy. You know, they each have their own sort of little, just in the same way beer styles have their own peculiarities that make them what they are. It's the same thing with fries.
But they all have a different following, too.
Are you on board with this fry?
I'm a steak fry guy.
Oh,
are you?
Absolutely. Yeah. That wasn't what I was going to say, but absolutely.
Okay.
One of my quizzes during my bridal shower was, what's Beverly's favorite food group? And it was fried.
Wow. So should I send you the web address to his Frites site so you can keep up on what's happening in the Frites world?
Sure. Poutine,
poutine, yes.
Is potatoes...
Poutine.
It's like protein, but
you're
say
not allowed
poutine.
To speak anymore. It's potatoes, poutine sauce, and cheese curd.
Whoa. Oh, well, that sounds good, doesn't it?
So it's not gravy.
Oh,
For some reason, I thought it was gravy.
Well, that's more of a casserole, I think, and that I think then that would fall out of the French fry area.
Yeah.
That's personally what I would say.
An additive?
Any kind of curds.
Well, what's the base potato, I guess, would probably be key.
Like the name,
you know? Is it fries or
poutine.
is it?
I want a shirt that says "I love poutine."
We can make it.
Yeah. It's like poutain.
Oh, yeah, he has it as poutine.
Okay, yeah. It was something like that.
And JP, remember when Carl's Jr. started making those fries? You could tell that they made like potato mush, and they shoved it through this grate.
Extraction
fries, not the real cut fries.
I don't know if you remember, but Arby's back in the 70s and 80s used to.
I love where this is going. I love this whole conversation.
I know you.
They used to
do
their fries. I think they made them with sort of mashed potatoes, and they would drip them out of this. They would drip into the oil, and they were the flakiest. They were phenomenal. They stopped doing it. I imagine it was too slow or too expensive or both. But it would. Oh my God, they were so good. They would flash fry them basically, and so they'd have this really. Light crust and
kind of like Burger King used to. Burger King did like 5-6 years ago.
Nothing like that. This was a cut above. If anybody remembers,
they had to get
those Arby's fries. They were very different than any other fry I've ever had.
How do you feel about In-N-Out fries? There's a lot of In-N-Out haters, but I'm a fan because it's
good question.
You're not on the West Coast, they just take a full potato, run it through a slicer, drop it in oil.
I think they're pretty good. I'm off In-N-Out Burger because I got food poisoning last time I was there, but it wasn't the fries, it was the burger.
Sure. Anytime you are going to consume ground beef, that's going to happen.
It's a danger.
Don't blame In-N-Out.
If I stopped eating every place I got food poisoning, I wouldn't eat In-N-Out. My wife makes fun of me.
I usually make them go through a self-imposed waiting period. That's all. Until I can muster this.
With In-N-Out, I was a hater. I didn't like it until I could order them extra crispy. Because before that...
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Before that, it's like they're undone fries.
I like them that way. I like them mush.
No. Nothing worse than a soggy fry.
Really?
But they're only good for the first 5 minutes.
I agree with that.
4 to 5 minutes. And then just like McDonald's fries. After that, they're awful and don't even eat
them. Well, McDonald's fries live forever. What are you talking about?
Did you see the bonus section in... Supersize Me?
I don't know if I did or not.
No, I didn't.
Did anybody see the bonuses?
I read the...
In the bonus section, he got those these big like cookie jars.
Oh, yes. Sealed, I did see this,
And put all the various McDonald's sandwiches and fries in them and then filmed it week after week after week and watched them deteriorate and putrefy. Which all of the sandwiches did. The fries, on the other hand, looked exactly the
same. That's right. They never changed.
They never changed.
Not one bit. You could have heated them again.
Yep.
And eaten.
And nobody would have known the difference, probably.
By the way, there's another guy who... there's a professor somewhere who doesn't eat meat, and one day his students brought him a Big Mac as a joke, and he grabbed the Big Mac and he threw it over into the side... he brought it to his office, threw it in the corner of his office. He forgot about it for a year.
Oh.
He found it. He grabbed the Big Mac. It looked... In this case, exactly like it looked the day that they bought it for him. So now he starts, it's a biology class, and he uses this Big Mac every year. He has the same goddamn Big Mac. He uses it every year to start the class talking about preservatives and how well they work. And anyway, those fries are a fine example of preservatives. Yeah. I do have questions about fries for you now. The listeners are fired up about this.
Jay, do you remember when McDonald's fries were actually fried with lard? Before they got all politically correct and they started frying them with the vegetable oil.
Well, I know lard's not good for you, but it tastes better.
Damn, it does.
Vivo, did you have another question too? Or?
I just had something to add on to the poutine thing.
Oh,
poutine. Apparently, a serving of poutine is the fat equivalent of a pound of butter.
Wow. Jay likes that, I'm sure.
That is disgusting.
I thought it was
supposed
to be better for us.
All right, Tom from Raleigh wants to know, is it Raleigh?
Raleigh.
I always do that
just
wrong,
like it's
Tom.
Millie Walker.
Question for Jay. What does Jay think about the fries of Chicago? They're usually fresh cut and served in a brown paper bag. Have you had this experience?
I have. I love the fry. I mean, they're real. You're going to be hard-pressed to find a fry I don't like if it's done well.
Okay.
Really, that's what it comes down to. It's the same thing with all the styles of beer. You love them all. You don't really.
It's the same thing.
Style of fries. I do like them,
but it's not the top of your fry list.
Well, they're hard to get. I mean, I don't live in Chicago. I mean, Chicago style pizza, I think, is wonderful as well. But
I like that.
Closest we can get out here is Zachary's and Berkeley, and that's pretty good. But it's still not Chicago
and BJ's.
You know, exactly. Yeah. So, I do like them. I wish I could get them more.
Okay. Well, CBC is in
Chicago. That's right. That's a good point.
Are you going to have a fry crawl?
I should organize one. I wonder if people would be interested in doing
it. It will sway my vote because right now I'm not going. I don't want to go this year.
Seriously.
I've got other things to do. But if you do a fry crawl, I might be that might push me over the edge. I might go to CBC.
Well, I'll start talking to my Chicago friends and start putting something together.
Me too. Seriously. Fry crawl, dude.
Fry crawl?
Second to
and
question.
Potato chip crawl.
Yeah,
you know, a couple of days isn't going to kill you.
Who ate all the pies in the chat room? Wants to know another question I don't understand.
I think it was Baloo ate all the pies.
Ask Jay if he likes pink eyes. Do you know what these are?
No, I don't know what pink eyes are.
Beef, he might have to explain what pink eyes are. I think, isn't he an Australian who ate all the pies? Or English or something? He's very angry. I know that. He's usually angry.
He's from New Zealand then.
Well, hanging upside down all day.
I mean, I know what the disease is, but.
Right.
I'm going to assume eyes. That's not what he's talking about.
Right. It looks better when it's just one eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let me at least attempt to get us back on the track a little bit, because I do want to know a little more about this neo-prohibitionism.
Wait, where are you going for
that
fries?
What does it have to do with potatoes?
Well, because we cut it off in the
middle. Good point, Scott.
It's a tangent circle right back around to where we were.
Well, let me compare the neo-prohibitionists to the unbaked potato.
Okay, thank you. Let's do that. That'll be perfect.
All right.
You can't.
I can't do it. He had nothing.
They have baked. Lots of eyes, and they're looking everywhere.
They've never been baked.
That's their problem, yes.
Yeah. Is there a real... What I want to know is... Now, you're talking about the amount of money they spent, $256
million. $265 million over the last, I think, 7 years.
Is it really a threat, though? I mean, it's such big business, alcohol, in the United States. Can you really tell me it's a threat to our...
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Slippery slope.
Tell me how.
Yes.
What about all the money?
Look at history. I mean, that's the first way to look at that question. That is exactly the response that the brewers had for the first prohibition.
Okay.
When the excise taxes were first imposed to help pay for the Civil War, after the Civil War, most of them went away. Alcohol did not go away. Tobacco did not go away. Before that, income tax... there was hardly any. It was a very small amount of the amount that the federal Treasury collected. So alcohol really helped pay for a lot of things. So the brewers really felt that they were safe, that there was never going to be a prohibition. And so their response was pretty half-hearted. They didn't really respond at all to temperance groups at that time. And then all of a sudden, income tax, the Income Tax Act, somebody can tell me when that started, but when that went into effect, suddenly that wasn't the case anymore. Congress was getting a lot more federal money through income tax, and so all of a sudden the alcohol piece of it wasn't as important, and suddenly the brewers realized they were in fact at risk of having prohibition actually be enacted.
Okay, but now it's not just alcohol taxes. There are a whole industry. It's the sporting industry.
Sure.
Right? I mean, there's other things that would... It's just like why they say the car industry, right? Because there's a tree of industries below them.
Yeah, parts, dealers.
So to me, the same thing happens with alcohol, right? And so
You don't sell as much rubbers if you have
alcohol. Yeah, that's right. Trojans are... Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You don't buy as much clap penicillin.
Yeah.
Air fresheners.
But you see what I'm... I mean, I'm sure you've thought about it, but this is why I'm asking, because I read what you write about it, and I go, oh, and I get fired up too, Jay. You get me fired up on this stuff. But then I sort of end up calming down going, there's no way. There's too much money.
Well, I mean, you look at, there is, but you look at what is happening in terms of where you can drink now and how the state laws are as goofy as they are.
Yeah.
You know, the age, the age of minimum, you know, where the... we're the only country, civilized nation, where alcohol is allowed. That's at 21 anymore. Mm. I mean, almost everybody else is
at 18. They pushed it.
Mm. Yeah. And, I mean, that's pretty ridiculous right then and there. And that happened. I mean, we know it's not working.
Right.
And everybody knows it's not working.
Yeah.
It pulls them too far away from what adulthood.
It just drives it under
until they can start drinking at 21.
It just drove it underground. It didn't stop it, and it made it more dangerous. It made it less safe.
I mean, that's how Chad got laid this week by that 21-year-old.
Let's look at the other countries that
probably
they tolerated it at 16.
Yeah,
and they've taught the kids that hey, this is just part of life.
Well, I think so. I mean, I think there's that whole taboo factor. I mean, because we're so weird about it. You know, you can't have, there are some states where it's absolutely illegal for you as a parent to give your child just a sip of alcohol. And, you know,
but there's also some states that's illegal to park a giraffe on Main Street.
Well, true.
You know what I mean? It's just, it matters if you get caught. Right. I guess. I mean, there's a lot of weird laws,
But just in general, it's still a taboo to do it.
I mean, it still creates an atmosphere, I think.
Sure.
Whether enforced or not. We tend to look at alcohol in this country
as a rite of passage.
That it's a sin, that it's a sin tax.
Yeah.
And I think that's the wrong way to look at it. I mean, all of our alcohol laws reinforce the idea that alcohol is bad and needs to be regulated. But that isn't really true. That's just something we've accepted.
Well, how many people have I seen that have been regulated as children till they go to college?
Right.
Then they just go nuts.
Right. Well, and if they...
Well, that's the binge
drinking.
They're
lucky they come out the other end.
And they had no respect for alcohol at that point.
Right. Yet. Well, and that's from not having it at the table, not, you know, being educated about it, not being out at places where there are adults who are responsibly drinking, and so they get to see model behavior. You know, beer festivals, most times kids aren't allowed. Oh, my God, they might see somebody drinking. Why? Is that a problem? I do not get that.
So what do you think, then, about the... Because it's viewed as a sin, and there are sin taxes and this and that, then what is your stance about the free marijuana, the don't allow drug or legalized marijuana people who say, you know, there's more negative effects to alcoholism and alcohol on your body than there is our preferred drug of choice. So do you see what I'm saying?
I think there's some truth to that, actually. But a lot of it has to do with the way we treat alcohol. Alcohol doesn't have to be the danger that it is. I mean, they're trying to advance their position, and if I was in their shoes, I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to say that their product, their drug of choice, is safer.
Yet it's the illegal one.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there's some truth to that. I mean, there are studies that bear out that, you know, driving under the influence of marijuana, in some cases, is safer because you're more aware of it, you're more alert.
You're more paranoid. Shit, is that green or is that red? I don't know. I'm going to stop anyway.
Behind me?
You're only going 20 miles an hour.
Right.
But it's the freeway. I know, but I'm scared.
It's true.
So, I mean, I'd do the same thing if I was, you know, a member of Normal or advocating for them. I understand their point of view. I think, you know, but what I take away from, or what I'd change about it, because I don't work for Normal, is the problems that they ascribe to alcohol in order to advance their cause. Some of them do exist, but they're using that to advance their agenda. And most of those are the extreme problems that are with us. But I think a lot of those problems are with us because we don't educate, because of where the age is, because we dismantled mass transit so people can't use it and can't take it.
Right.
I mean, I really don't think point 8 is where we need to be, personally. I don't think...
What do you think?
I don't think the definition of binge drinking is anywhere close to what reality is.
Well, and I agree with that because, by the way, everyone in this room is an alcoholic.
Yeah, we all are based on
their standards.
The CDC,
absolutely.
5 drinks in one session you're considered a binge drinker, and that's absurd. That's any beer dinner, and you know you have that with food. You have that over several hours.
That's like a bottle and a half of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that this morning while I was waiting for my missed flight.
Cheerios.
The airport.
Yeah.
There's a famous incident now in the UK where they have these they're called drinking units, and they've told people to be healthy. This was how many they have, and they made them up 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and it was just revealed in the last year or two that the doctors that sat on the panel that created those just made them up out of thin air. But alcohol and social policy was based on them for the last 20-25 years, and they were just nonsense. And that's what happens when you when alcohol isn't allowed to sort of stand up for itself, where the only voice is the voice of people who want to restrict it and who think it's a sin and don't like it.
So let me ask you this. If there was not a point, I want to go back to this because I think it's interesting and potentially controversial. If there was not a 0.08 limit, do you mean that limit should be a different limit or that there should be a different scale of how we judge whether or not people are able to drive?
Well, I don't know. I don't think there was much of a difference between 1 and 0.8.
No.
I mean, that was always, you know, the people who advocated for that, you know, seemed to make this claim that that 0.2 was the biggest thing in the world and it's going to save mankind. And it hasn't.
No.
And not surprisingly. And it didn't. Why aren't we making cars safer? If drunk driving is the problem,
mm-hmm.
why aren't we getting more mass transit?
Or the ignition thing where you got to breathe into it. You know, it's like
Jay.
You know,
don't get me started. Apparently, Jay has one.
One of you not drink because I got to go home at some point.
I'm pushing.
Where to find
the
a homeless
limit.
Person when you need one?
If they don't want anybody to drive. Yeah. To put anybody. One of those in every car. Nobody be driving.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody be driving.
I think that it's an excellent point that Jay makes, too, that especially about the public transit, that why wouldn't we invest the money? But I think there's an easy answer to that, and that's that there's a lot of money in DUIs, and there's no money in public transit, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I think I'm the only one in the room who actually does have a DUI. Yeah,
it's not for you. It's for everybody else.
Right. And I will say to you that I've done this before. I'll do it briefly. But I had been a much drunker and irresponsible driver before I got my DUI than on the night that I got mine.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some validity now to me having to the rule and to the law. And now that I understand it, and it really scared me and it kicked me in the ass. And mm-hmm. I stopped being an asshole I really was. I was doing some very irresponsible driving, but had just never been caught. Now I don't go near my car if I've had.
Sure,
even a couple
just his motorcycle
at all.
But really, and these guys, my poor friends, all know this, that essentially if we go out, I am never the driver. I just not only do I not own a vehicle, but I don't
payer either.
It's either two beer man, is my life charmed. I'm a two beer queer in the sense of driving. I guess I'm just saying, I don't know. I agree with a certain amount of regulation, but you're really making me rethink this. You make some good points.
Well, I think that I think even before the rules tightened and strengthened, that there were enough traffic rules in place to convict people who drove drunk.
Yeah,
who were indeed over the line and couldn't handle themselves and caused accidents.
Good point. Okay. So the 0.08 didn't change any of that.
No, I don't believe that it did. Right. When MAD started, it happened because of an incident. Kathy Leitner's, I forget if it was her daughter, was killed by a drunk driver who was a recidivist. He that knucklehead should not have been driving. And the judge, supposedly in the case, the judge who had him even though it had happened two or three times before, he was, let go and allowed to drive again. And so that in that one particular case, that was a failure. I mean, it was a failure of the justice system,
right?
Who should have recognized that person should not be behind the wheel. The idea of taking that and widening that net out to the entire population, that because this idiot,
I agree with you,
couldn't handle himself, that everybody else. I mean, it's like security at the airport. One idiot tries to get in a shoe bomb, and we all have to take our fucking shoes off.
Well, it's like Cindy Sheehan,
Right? Yeah. It's an overreaction, and I think as a society we tend to do that. When something happens, we overreact.
We cater to the lowest common denominator.
No, exactly.
Well, I don't understand why race has an issue.
What? The lowest comment is that the
what? No. Well, you said he was a recidivist, and I figured, well, if he's like hates. No. Well, racist.
You're doing all right.
I appreciate that.
A lot of judges are bound by the law. They have to do this because of this.
Yeah. That's written down. You got to do it.
And instead of giving the judges more leniency, they just, make the law broader.
Yeah.
And how many of us know, you know, four-time drunk drivers? Yeah. I know, or know of, you know, friend of a friend, whatever it is. And so in this, I certainly agree with you, Jay, that there's a faction of people who should be, you know, to me... And I'm pretty throw the book at drunk drivers kind of a guy now. Right. Even though I have one, I'm a throw the book at you kind of guy. When I hear about somebody who has three or four, I can't understand why they're ever allowed to get into a car.
Well, because you learned after the first one,
and I did, and if I didn't, I really should have been punished. I mean, and the reason is because innocent people die.
Yeah.
Is what I think, and I don't, and I just have no tolerance for that. So I am really kind of a throw the book at repeat. You see what I mean?
Well, you said it already. You said that you were an asshole beforehand.
I was a shithead. I was dangerous, and
then the time you got caught, you weren't even that bad. But you know what? It opened your eyes.
Yeah. It did.
You told us about that. So
whatever happened when we were like 15, all they ever told us was driving is a privilege. It's not a right.
I drove home drunk when I was 15. I didn't even have a license, and I was out drinking and driving home.
I was 12.
Nearly passing out. I mean, I'm telling you, I was a real... I was in trouble, man. Yeah. It was no good. So, but I do... I guess overall what I'm saying to you is I do tend to agree that it's that a blanket rule like that didn't... It's not changing much.
No. I mean, there are statistics that people always point to and say that traffic safe, you know, that it did save the world and but if you really look at those statistics, there weren't seat belts as much before that time either. There weren't a lot of, there were other safety features built into cars. The federal speeding law, you know, went down to 55.
Right.
You know, so there were a number of competing factors. And, you know, the anti-alcohol, the mad folks point to all the statistics and say
it all dropped because
of what we did. But the reality is it was far more complicated than that.
Real quick, our interim producer, Scott, has to leave. He's got another radio
gig
to do tonight, but I just wanted to introduce him once again. He's going to be back with us next week helping out.
You getting paid for the next one?
In beer, yes.
Okay, good.
In lots of beer. Scott, thanks for... You did a great job tonight. I appreciate you hanging out and helping, and we'll see you next week.
Hell yeah, I miss you guys the last few months.
It has been a while.
Yeah, definitely.
We used to work with Scott on our CBS show all the time. Yeah. And Yes, our wonderful CBS show. So it's good to have you back with us, and we'll see you next week.
Hell yeah, see you guys.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, I expect the show notes in my inbox tomorrow.
That's right. JP, he's a very strict co-host. Yeah,
they're already there.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a great conversation, Jay, and this is why I like having you on the show. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll let you go soon, I promise. But I warned you it's a long show.
No worries.
And maybe we'll get a beer in a minute.
You know, it's good guest, long show. It just goes...
It's what happened. Yeah, you know it was a bad show if you were out of here already, Jay. This is how it goes. We'll be right back. We'll talk a little bit more about neo-prohibitionism, and go to BrooksonBeerBulletin.com. Check it out. Hang in there. It's The Session.
You're listening to The Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Where were we?
You stole an oak barrel from the mist of Ravenwood, and Lord Zinfandel the Avenger is in pursuit. Do you drop the barrel and run?
Hell no.
We need it for our Flanders Red.
I'm going to cast Pediococcus Damnathus on the barrel.
Sorry, your ghosts are imprisoned in his winery forever.
Ugh, I hate it when Greg's the brewmaster.
This sucks.
What do we have here? Orville Rodenbach?
Buzz off, guy. We got a brew session going.
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Do you get a long-lasting foam stand when you think about wheat malt? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the pre-prohibition lager.
Perfect for steampunk.
And the single hop best bitter.
Now on cap in 10 forward.
Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Writing a review of WLP 400.
What? You're reviewing yeast?
Yeah. White Labs has home brewer reviews of all their strains. Are you new to these interwebs? Check it out.
That's awesome.
White Labs, your source for great yeast, invites all brewers to visit whitelabs.com to read and write your own reviews of all their yeast strains. Get real-world tips and tricks from other brewers who have made the most of their vials and post your own experiences. It's another way White Labs brings you closer to the best yeast on the planet.
And send.
There you go.
You misspelled flocculate, dude.
What?
White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Hi, this is Push from the Brewing Network, and I want to tell you about the Brewmaster's Warehouse and how you can get 10% off your next order. I'm a pretty techie guy, but I've never seen an online store like this. It's awesome. Go to brewmasterswarehouse.com and click on Brew Builder. You can whip up a custom recipe so easily even Sven could do it. Seriously, it's slick. You can share your recipe with your own logo and notes to the Brewmaster's database if you want. And the best part, it keeps a running tally of the beer you're building while you're doing it. Then, bam, click Buy Recipe and your cart is filled and ready to go with helpful suggestions in case you forgot something. This thing is amazing. Brewmaster's Warehouse is run the way a home brewer would do it, with great service, fast turnaround, and $6.99 flat rate shipping. Brewmaster's Warehouse and the Brew Builder blew me away. Check it out today at brewmasterswarehouse.com. I'm serious. And don't forget to put BNARMY in the discount code box for 10% off your order. Check out brewmasterswarehouse.com. Cheers.
Wait till you can pour it out of your own kegerator.
Yeah. I mean, your friends will look at you with awe.
And it's just hot.
It is?
It's so super hot.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
You're listening to
The Session.
Keeping the ass out of Brewcast.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking with us. Still talking to Jay. Go to the BrookstonBeerBulletin.com if you haven't already, and you can do the easy ways. You can get the RSS subscription and just get it all sent to you.
Yep.
And what's your Twitter?
Brookston.
Just Brookston.
Yep.
You can do Twitter.com/Brookston. Yep. Same thing there. Yeah. I don't subscribe to a lot of Twitter feeds. I'll tell you why, because it's, I don't know. I don't want to be bothered by everybody.
But now that they added lists, I think it's a little, you can parse
it out. I haven't figured that out yet. You can do lists. I saw that, but I didn't know what it meant. And
there's
also
sites you can
that'll do
mute
that too.
Other people.
Right. Oh.
Yep.
But then why sign up, I think is my point, if you're going
to
mute anyway.
To follow other people. It's a weird social network, how you build your popularity.
So it's just to get you people. It's self-serving.
Yeah, totally.
I don't like that. I follow Brookston, though, is my
point.
Yeah,
you do, because then that's why you're on Twitter, is to get people to listen to the show.
It is, but I don't follow people to get them to follow. You see what I'm saying?
No.
That's going overboard to me.
Twitter's
just say, I'm here.
You turned yourself off, I think, though.
Twitter's just for like, hey, yeah, I'm taking a dump right now.
Yeah, which that's what we did for the last 3 days. Me and Jamil in Wisconsin. We just kept saying, all right, I'm taking a dump in Wisconsin.
I'm having bacon.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I use it to let people know when I've done a new blog post.
And that's what I started using it for, too. Yeah. Just when we posted new shows, and on the rare occasion that we do a new blog post, same thing. But
what it should be for.
It is. Although when we travel, it's the other time that we use it.
Too.
Otherwise, it's pretty much dormant. Yeah. But when we travel, we use it.
I'm going to be here.
Yeah, yeah. And then it
show
works
up
for
here.
That.
We'll be here.
I'm ready for that.
What do you think about social media and beer now? I mean, I go on Facebook and Twitter now, and it seems like every brewer on earth, now, granted, I only follow brewers and stuff, but it seems to me like the whole Twitter sphere, whatever the hell, is brewers. Are we doing ourselves a service with
this? Can we coin that? Twitter sphere?
Yes.
I don't see why not. I think it's great, actually. I mean, we see what we're interested in. I mean, you know, people who are interested in other things, I'm sure, are saying the same thing about, you know, their worlds. I was on a panel on social media at the last Craft Brewers Conference, and really I would encourage every brewer to have a Facebook page and Twitter account. What better way to let people who already want to know what you're doing, let them know? You know, for breweries and brew pubs, let them know there's a new beer out, that they're brewing a new beer, they're having a special event at their place. I mean, you couldn't ask for a
more direct
tool, a more direct
what's coming
tool.
Up. Oh, and you don't want the I missed that.
Yeah,
has it killed the newsletter? You know, everyone had to have a newsletter.
I think so. That's now redundant. To a certain extent, yeah. I mean, people are still doing them. Certainly, I think it's actually. I don't know if this is good or bad, but I think it's actually also hurt specific interaction between blogs. People don't comment as much. They retweet instead.
Got it. Yeah. Whereas you used to... So have you noticed that on yours?
I've noticed a drop off on comments, but an increase in people retweeting something that I might have blogged about.
How about traffic? Have you noticed an increase in traffic since you started on the two, Twitter or Facebook?
No, I haven't. Well, since the last time I moved my blog, I removed my way of easily looking at my traffic. I have to go to Google Analytics now, and I'm always too lazy to actually do it. So I don't really know. I should look at that.
It's a complex site almost sometimes to get into, Google Analytics.
Yeah, it is.
It's got a lot on there. I would actually be surprised to find out that you hadn't. And then I guess my question would be to you, if it's not increasing awareness and traffic to your site, then why would you be doing it?
I think it's just a different way to reach people and different people. I think it feeds on itself. I noticed that if I tweet more... I get more followers. Like, more people will follow.
Okay.
Good
point.
And theoretically, that pushes people to the source material that I want them to see, which is, what I'm writing about on the
blog. How interactive are you with the blog thing? Are you more autonomous? You put your thoughts out there, and if you want to read them, fine. If you don't, whatever. Yeah. And then the next one comes up, and you put your thoughts back out there.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand the question,
but it's
you do let people comment.
Are you reacting to comments coming in?
Oh, yeah. Very much so. I almost always, unless it's, one that, is hate-filled and I delete it, plenty of times people, disagree and I'll respond and,
I have seen some of those threads, and to me, I like those discussions.
Oh,
I mean, we've talked about this already, but what I actually mean is the discussion, not just the hate mail.
Yeah.
I've had some people who read strongly disagreed with you.
Yeah.
And you've come back and said, well, listen, and you didn't shut them down. You just said, well, I hear what you're saying, but in this case, you're wrong or whatever.
Here's why I did it that way why I... a lot of times it'll be, they misread something that took it to mean something different than I intended it, and maybe I wrote it awkwardly or something, so I'll try and explain what I meant better. Or, occasionally I'm wrong, and I'll admit it and say, you're right. And that does happen.
But I've just started reading your blog, so it's more of a, I look at it more as an editorial.
Kind
of,
sure.
And I'm with you on it. I really respect it. So,
and you do scoop a lot.
Yeah, you do.
By the way,
really?
My question was: is if someone says, "Hey, not this, not that," or "What about this?" How responsive are you on that one?
I think it'd be a case by case basis, but I mean, I would address it. If somebody brought up something I hadn't thought of, I would certainly pass that along and give them credit for it, even because if it wasn't my idea,
I could see cutting the fringy people out.
I mean, sometimes you feel like you have to. I mean, where I notice that more now is now that I'm doing the biweekly column for the newspaper is
Jay took over Bill Brand's column in our local paper. Well, not just local, is it?
Yeah, it's syndicated and it usually runs in about six papers, all of them around the Bay Area.
Yeah, I'm so glad you took over that column, Jay. You're the right man to do it.
First person I thought of.
Everybody I think thought, hey, Jay has to do this. So now you're doing that. Sorry.
Well, no, it's fine. One of the not negative, but one of the things that surprised me is, I guess it shouldn't have, is that almost no matter what approach I take, somebody doesn't like it.
Of course.
And that's, in a way, that's to be expected.
Yeah.
It is trying to find a balance of writing about what you want to and what you think might be interesting to other people. And then... you can't please everybody. I mean,
now what about the new format? On you changed blogs,
I did.
It used to be that I could scroll down to the last, I don't know, 10 or so posts, and now it's one post on the page.
No, there's four that are fully there.
Is that right?
And then I think six that are in summary that you can then click to.
Let me look here because I haven't figured that all out yet.
You
got to
look on it to prove them wrong.
Change for one.
Oh yeah.
And so I like the. I think that the design looks nice.
Right.
But I did. I'm not sure that I'm sold.
Okay, there's two. Three.
Oh,
four.
This is new, Jay. You did this on today's show.
No, that's been there a couple of days. Yeah. I've been the last, I say, week when he told me I had.
Oh, and then all these
stuff.
Ones underneath are
yeah,
also.
Those are in summary. Yeah, those are additional. You can click to. Those are.
Jay, I really
older.
Like the new design.
Thanks. I need to get the.
It looks great.
And I really don't normally like change, but I really like this.
But this new design is fantastic.
It's cleaner and it loads faster, which is a big problem I had been having.
Just like Tasty.
Yes.
And I need to get the links back up. But
what about this beer and art nonsense you do all the time?
That is my favorite category.
You like that?
I do. I like seeing beer and art.
It seems I clicked to be, on this. I did not get it.
I like it.
It seems to be beef jerky. People seem to hate it or love it. Sully hates it, I know.
He does?
Yeah.
I'm indifferent.
And then other people tell me that's their favorite thing I do. So it just sort of, again, it comes back to you can't please everybody, so you got to do what you like. And I love art, so.
Okay. Did you start finding beer and art and then thought I'll do a blog?
I'd always noticed it, and I always sort of gravitated toward it because you're interested in one and you're interested in the other. You're going to put them together. I mean, I think that's inevitable.
Yeah.
And so, just sitting around one day and decided, there's so much out there. I wonder what else I can find. So I started actively looking for art that featured beer. And so now I've been doing it a year. Today was number 52. So I did it.
I thought it was 57.
No, today was
52. It's right at the top of the page.
Damn
52.
It.
That's a lot of content.
And you started also adding some video content to your blog posts.
I have been. Yeah, I got a flip camera.
Attaboy, Jay.
And it's been fun to, I don't think of myself as a videographer, but occasionally it's nice to, get something on video to share with people.
We used to do that too after the show. We used to have commentary after the show.
We could start it up again tonight.
What happened to that?
We'll make Jay do it tonight. We'll bring it back tonight.
Hey, we should.
But now here's what I'm going to say about not being a videographer. Because in most of the stuff that the BN does, a lot of productions have been delayed because I'm actually a real stickler about production. I'd rather not do it at all until it gets done right.
Makes sense.
But I think, and this goes along with how social media is now.
Right.
People don't really care if it's a fully produced Hollywood production.
I think that's
if
true.
If you can watch it without being irritated, so you're not standing in a wind tunnel or doing jumping jacks. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to just point and shoot. People would rather the instantaneous information is less produced than none at all.
Yeah.
And this is where the flip video and YouTube, I've really embraced that whole thing. And I've let go of a lot of my perfectionist bullshit, too.
Right. Well, I think there's a certain authenticity to it if it's not overproduced.
And let's face it, what our business is not curing the world of hunger. So to go to a festival and just hear the organizer talk about what happened that day, it's plenty enough to just put out like that.
I agree.
Glad to see you embracing it here too.
That is a good point, and I have the same feelings about you do or that you do on video. But on the other hand, there are some basic rules that you shouldn't be doing with the video camera, and a lot of people out there, and that's what I don't like about the flip cameras and stuff, because a lot of people don't know. They're waving it around and they're showing and it's unwatchable. It makes you want to take a friggin' Dramamine before I watch this thing.
But I'll tell you, there's even the instruction manual
to do that.
It gives you the basic
but
things
that
you need
to know.
But who
reads the instructions?
Apparently.
When's the last time you ever read the instructions? I mean, I rarely read instructions on anything.
Right, what I'm saying is that I agree with you. Yeah. And that it is such a real thing that they even put it in the instruction that if you just do these four things, you will be able to.
And so that's my barrier. I need because I just that's unwatchable to me. I think it breaks down the whole legitimacy of reporting with the little flip cam. I like the instant information. I like checking stuff out, the stuff that we've done and whatever.
There should be a website out there. JP's four things about flipping.
Yeah, about flipping.
Can you do it?
Sure.
Yeah. There's no stabilization in the flip camera, so it is tend to be a little jerky.
And they're mostly drunk people.
Which is unfortunate.
Well, that's the other thing.
That's good to me.
Yeah. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
True. Right. That's true of anything.
But if you're good, I mean, if you know what you're doing, then anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that.
What about the symbol, Jay? Everyone wants to know, yeah, what is the Jay Brookston symbol?
The logo.
Yeah.
That is
the
middle
Jay.
Finger. Actually, if you click on about this symbol, you can get the full story. But basically, it's an ancient symbol for the Babylonian god Marduk.
Uh-huh.
Who was a god of brewing, among much else. He eventually became the chief god of the Babylonians, but that wasn't until later.
Not a big
but,
great
And that
I
symbol is
on the way up.
I'd also read that it's believed to be one of the earliest symbols for brewing, or a brewing symbol. It's a stylized most people aren't going to be seeing it right now, but there's a circle, and then you would put your hand in there, and there's a flat part, and you'd use that to drag across to flatten the grain, to smooth the grain out.
Okay.
While it was drying or something?
Yeah. And then my initials are JB, and it's upside down J and a B.
How'd you get into this?
Into what?
Well, it seems like a lot of this stuff was already there, ancient
cult
symbols.
I am a history buff.
And it just happens to be JB. It looks like an upside down J and a B.
Yeah.
And you say, hey.
Well, I was searching for symbols, basically, and trying to figure out something. I wanted to have a logo, and I wanted it to have some meaning. I didn't want it to just be random. So I spent a lot of time just doing, searches for different, keywords and different things. And
Jay has another fetish, by the way.
Oh, I have many, many fetishes.
Documentaries. We share this fetish. Jay and I both really enjoyed. Yeah, you're
it's
a documentary guy. And,
Google search JB. Google search.
Well,
that's how you found the logo.
Symbols,
that you mean?
Yeah. Just to,
well,
know.
There's going to be a lot of people out there want to do that same kind of thing. That's a cool symbol.
It is a good logo.
It's a good logo. It has JB in it. It's got a lot of...
Yeah,
it's got
it works. Yeah, I love it. It's
Stuck's fixating
right now. I mean, although the number one misidentification I get is showerhead. A lot of people think showerhead.
I like showers, okay?
I think fishing for... I thought
Charlie Chaplin. I thought and Top Hat for some reason.
Interesting.
Like the first time I saw it, I was like, what?
It's better than a wiener. Jay.
It is.
I think it was a smart choice.
Big dog.
If you had a big yellow wiener, I don't think it would have really brought out the brand
properly.
Well,
and that really wasn't second choice, actually.
It was not on the list? Okay. Where can people go? Is it still whatsontap.com to find the other? Your other, where you picked up Bill's column.
Right. It's renamed. It's Brooks on Beer.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, it's Brooks on Beer. And then I'm doing the blog for the Country Cross to Times. It's called Bottoms Up is the overall thing. And there's a wine writer, and then me, I write about beer, and she writes about wine. And we're on the same blog, basically.
So will you write about today's festival for that, for example?
Yes.
Because it's also a local publication.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay.
I try and do 3 or 4 posts on that a week.
Okay. All right, so you're keeping up pretty well with that.
Try to.
And you try to post every day on the Brooks?
Well, particularly now, it's actually Nablo... I don't know. If you scroll down, there's a character. It's National Blog Posting Month.
Come on. Everybody has to have a month, Jay. Now we have National Blog Posting Month?
Yeah. No, it's not.
When's the BN going to get
there? There it is.
Nambla.
Oh, I see. Oh, and there's a whole sign and everything.
Yeah.
And, who created National... Come on. This is ridiculous.
I don't know who did it exactly, but it just basically challenges you to blog every day, which I really do anyway.
Yeah.
But
except when you're traveling, I guess sometimes, and that's difficult.
Or if I have paying assignments.
Oh, then. Do you make any money through the blog? Advertisements or
really.
Traffic? You don't.
No, I don't try to. I get donations occasionally.
Okay.
And that pretty much pays for what... I don't have a lot of expenses for the blog itself, so yeah.
Gets him on hot radio shows.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be too personal about this. The reason I'm asking somebody's question is,
what is your inseam?
Yeah.
32.
Well, getting into the beer industry and certainly writing about beer is there's not many of you who do it for a living. And so I guess what I wonder is, are you does your career in as a writer contribute enough to the household? Does it contribute to the household income, or does it really just cover itself and your travel?
It does contribute.
So it can be done. People, is there room for a new person to come in and try to get into this field?
I think there's always room for somebody who's good. Certainly the number of beer bloggers has exploded over the last few years.
Yeah. That's true. That's for sure. But there's also,
let's not,
you know,
negate what he did at home. You take care of the kids.
I do. I mean, they're in school.
Oh, no, and I don't mean you don't contribute to the household.
Yeah, no, I knew that's what he meant.
But you could be the, you know, the housewife part. And
you would be a sexy housewife. Yeah, I'd like to see you in heels.
But see, there's a lot to that. You're doing,
I have a hard time walking in them.
You're doing a lot to make sure that household runs. Sure. The kids are
no, Doc, and I'm not belittling. I'm more looking out for our listeners who might be interested in getting into the field.
But he gets to do that, and he does well at that, and he also makes extra money doing
right.
Well, I don't know, Doc.
He
might really suck at getting the kids dressed on time. You never know.
You should see what they wear.
Where do you live?
Marin County, Nevada.
Okay. Flannel?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Birkenstocks. You know, that
Birkenstocks
kind of thing,
and a lot of flannel. Hey, you know what? It's always in fashion.
Could a person...
or people.
Make a decent living in writing about beer solely?
No.
Without owning... You know, obviously... So, Celebrator Magazine, it's owned by Tom.
Right.
He does it, but he get, you know, that's a one guy and a whole mag thing. You couldn't just be a journalist and make a living just writing about beer.
No. Well...
Be pretty tough.
I mean, anybody... I mean, theoretically, sure.
We're, okay.
But...
So, what is the
but the reality is that it... You know, you've got to be pretty dedicated and try and do a lot of pitches and write a lot, because it doesn't pay well.
You're not getting $2,000 an article here.
No.
This is not Esquire magazine.
He's not going to just write and expect the money to come in.
Yeah. I mean,
why not?
No, he's got to pitch it. He's got to be there. He's got to make it.
You got
to
research.
It worthwhile.
I mean, it takes an effort for somebody to do it. It can be done. There are very few of us who I think do only that. Almost every beer writer I know who does nothing else still usually does travel writing, or will write about spirits, or or will have another topic. But even among those, none of us are getting wealthy.
Or they're going to have a Chad, somebody's going to promote them all the time to get their word out there. Oh, we need this guy's comment on this thing,
or a beer pal, more importantly.
Yeah, he did. He beer pal was angry with us this week on the phone.
Oh, no.
Because we put because of our drunk of the week from Downtown Joe's. There was a last week was Rochelle, and that photo got posted on the forum, and we put her on the video and threw the medal on her. And he wasn't happy about that.
Mike and I have the same expression right now.
But he was mad. He was like, you shouldn't do that. That's my friend. And I was like, well, she's my friend, too. And by the way, if you go out and get drunk in public, I'm putting you on camera. That's the way it goes. That's your decision. Yeah, he wasn't happy. He brought up Beer Pal. I had to tell him.
Well, he hasn't been here in a while.
Yeah.
He hasn't even seen the new studio.
I still like you, Beer Pal. I don't mean that. Just pointing out that you were upset with us, and that's okay.
Yeah, and
we can still be friends.
Yeah, fastbottoms.com. There you go. You got a plug.
Yeah, all right.
You know, going back to, can you make a living at what you're doing all the whole time? You've got the perfect thing.
Yeah, I do.
You're fitting this job, and you're a hoss husband.
Right.
But you're not just sitting at home. You're actually doing what you want.
Yep. I think what he means is you have a hot wife that's a lawyer.
I do.
Is what the deal is here, Jay. You've really done well.
You know, it's a nice gig.
You're a smart man.
I thank my lucky stars every day.
Yeah.
Are there other beer blogs that you read? Are you fans of any particular?
Yes, absolutely. But
none that you want to plug?
But it isn't so much that. It's I don't want to not plug some. I'll forget somebody who's worthwhile.
Because and I ask you this because I don't listen to beer radio. I don't.
Right.
I don't listen to our shows or other shows. It doesn't interest me, to be honest.
I
like doing beer radio,
plug,
but it doesn't.
Two,
you know,
off the top of your head, just, and you're not dissing anybody else. Just plug two.
Damn you.
Okay,
you
one. All right, one.
Well, no. Well,
half a one.
Yeah.
It's really.
Give us half the address.
I mean,
I think
what Stan does with Appalachian blog and Lou Bryson's blog and Alan, who's up in Canada, does a good beer blog. I think
it's Canada.
Yeah.
Doc doesn't like Canada or the South, by the way.
I did not know that.
I got hate video for you.
Hate video?
Maybe I'll find it for the end of the show.
Well, I just spent 10 days in Asheville, North Carolina.
My brother spends a lot of time in Raleigh, so...
Yeah, I lived in Durham and Chapel Hill for a while.
Here's a good question, Jay.
Yeah, Chapel Hill is a whole different thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Listener just reminded me of, I meant to ask you this. We both have the session. This show that you're on right now is called The Session. And I've gotten email about this before.
Well, it's The Sunday Session.
People think, that's true, we are The Sunday, but it commonly referred to as The Session, but it is The Sunday Session. People have asked me before, like, did you and Jay have it out? And I was like, no, I think it happened accidentally, right?
Probably, yeah. I mean, it was beer bogging Friday, and then we came up with The Session, but it's not mine. I don't actually own The Session. It was sort of an idea that Stan first suggested, and a number of us who were early beer bloggers sort of adopted. And
what is it exactly?
It's Beer Blogging Friday. It's the first Friday of each month. A beer blogger agrees to host and comes up with a topic. Sometimes it's a specific beer style. The next one is going to be Stumbling Home, and it's to write about your local place that you can walk to and beers that you can get there and that experience. And then any beer blogger who wants to, or any blogger really who wants to write about that topic, does so and then sends a link to the person hosting, and then they do a roundup. And it's a way to sort of all talk about the same topic each month, and just as a way to increase discussion. And
so you all won't ever sue me for my use of The Session.
I believe
as well.
You are entirely safe.
Yeah. It's fine. And I won't sue you back either.
Yeah,
we might have to collaborate. We might have to do a Friday version every now
and then.
It's California.
That's right.
Well, it could happen.
You know, Jay, I wouldn't worry about offending any other bloggers because nobody really, no bloggers listen to the show. If they did, they would obviously have done numerous stories on us.
Ah, good point.
I'm just saying.
That's right.
Because we are a force in the beer industry.
I did choose you as my website of the month.
The BN was a website a couple months ago.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I made the beer birthdays page on Jay. Which, I think I told you this, Jay. It was very flattering. I saw it like late on in the day, it really kind of, it blew my mind. I was wow, I'm in the beer world. It was great.
I love doing this.
A correction from earlier, or clarification.
Okay, good.
Pink eyes.
Oh, good. Yeah, what
are
they?
They're small purple potatoes. Which I've seen. I think maybe just in the States we don't call them pink eyes as well. But
we call them purple potatoes.
Purple.
Albino midgets.
Wouldn't they call them purple eyes?
Yeah, albino midgets.
Good question.
Maybe after you cook them, they turn pink.
Well, I have cooked with them, actually.
Yeah, no, they stay purple.
Stay purple.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of them.
No?
No, I didn't. I found them dry, and that maybe is how they were
cooked.
Don't
be a potato hater.
They're just more for fun. See,
if you fry them, they'll be good.
I use them for color. So I'll roast a bunch of vegetables, Yukon Gold, sweet potatoes, and then I'll put those in just for shits and giggles.
Because they have another color.
I'm crazy and creative like that.
You are.
It makes for a nice presentation on the plate.
It does, right?
Yeah. My wife was feeding us sweet potatoes for like a week. Like, what the hell? You got a deal on this or what?
I don't really like sweet potatoes either.
I'm not a fan either.
They're not potatoes.
Yeah. Sweet potato fries are good.
But I do like them, but they're not potatoes.
No.
But she's...
They're yams.
I'm with you.
We got every which way.
You punched her in the eye, didn't you, Doc?
No.
Gave her pink eye?
I didn't do that.
Gave her pink eye.
Gave her a little pink eye.
I'd be in jail right
now,
I wouldn't be here talking to you.
It's really amazing. All right, let's do that. We're going to wind down. I don't need to take another break tonight, so we're going to call this the last segment. Drunks of the Week, if you want to call in, we'll do Drunk of the Week. We'll give away some Belgian candy sugar from Dark Candy Inc. 888-401-BEER. If you have any last questions for Jay, go ahead and send them over now. You can just hit the chat now button or also call in 888-401-BEER. We'll do all that if you have any last things to cover with Jay. Well, I'm glad you finally came in here, Jay. I will say that. It's been a while, and it's my fault if you've not gotten the official invite, and I don't know why. Because every time I see you, I want to talk to you on the show. So appreciate you coming in.
My pleasure.
And talking about beer blogging with us.
A lot of other stuff.
Is all this a fad?
Taters.
Is beer, is blogging, this still comes up every now and then.
It does. I don't think it'll ever go away. I'm sure that it'll morph into different things that'll probably, we can't think of right now. I mean, nobody, Time Magazine, Newsweek did an interesting series of lists and one of them recently was 10 indispensable things that are less than 10 years old that you can't do without, like online airline check-in, Wikipedia.
Pubic hair.
No.
Online.
Oh, no, I can do without that.
Blogging is, is far less than 10 years old. And Twittering and Facebook, they're all less than 10 years old. And so, I don't... I don't think we've even tapped their potential yet, and I think there'll be 10 years from now that
they will evolve.
Well, they're going to morph into something.
Yeah, something that we can't imagine right now, yeah. I'm sure.
Well, here's something that I think has changed about it, too. And you, and by the way, I've quoted you on this. I never give you credit for it, though. But when I talk to people, you and I were talking about the news industry, right. And we were talking about how it's changing, newspapers going under, and a lot of it is because of all of this free information. But the one sentence that you said to me that really actually struck home, and I think about it all the time, is that as a free society, we still have to pay for our news. Yeah. If we don't pay for our news, we're in trouble because mm-hmm. then obviously our news is owned by somebody else. At least this is what I inferred by. And I've used this sentence a dozen times since you said this to me, I think about a year ago. And so what do you think about that? Now that all of our stuff is free online, big major publications are going out of business.
Right. Well, I think mainstream news outlets are closing down their bureau offices around the world and they're relying on other ways to extract news. And I think the landscape of news is poor for it. Anytime something big breaks, if you try and really look into the story, there'll only be really two or three true, unique sources. You know, the AP
right.
wire story will be picked up by everybody, mm-hmm. or UPI, or whoever it is. And I think that's the really bad downside of what's going on, and I think we have to be willing to pay for those companies to gather the news.
So are you still buying the San Francisco Chronicle or whatever your paper
well,
of choice?
Well, I'm a Bay Area news group because I write for the Bay Area news group.
So I
do get the paper at home.
Yeah.
There are several news sources online that we pay for that I subscribe to.
See, and I don't, even though I've just said that I think about this comment all the time because I think you're right. But isn't it difficult that even someone who like me believes in it? So what I think is that if it comes down to the wire, I'll start paying if I have to.
Sure.
But how do we compete? I mean, I go online, I get everything I need. I get New York Times to my telephone,
right.
And I don't have to pay a dime.
Right.
And you see what I'm saying? It's a difficult...
It's going to have to change. I mean, I think micropayments might be, you know, how it ends up working, where, you know, you build your paper and you pay for the feeds you want.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've read. Right. That's one suggestion that's been made about how news might look in the future.
So do you think you don't think it's doomed then? You think they're going to figure it out?
I think it's going to change. Anytime things change, the people who were doing it one way for a very long time are slow to change and will scream about the change as being horrible.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just human nature.
But also, people will lose jobs as things evolve and change.
Right.
I mean, and that's
the new
tough
jobs
part
will
it.
Be created.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but we're in a transition phase right now.
Yeah.
You know, the way news is delivered is, it's chaos.
Yeah.
But out of it, some other form will stabilize and balance that people will be able to make a living. If not, well, there isn't going to be any news.
I will say this. Bill Brand was fascinated coming in here, finding out that there was revenue to be made at what we're doing.
Right.
Here's a guy who had been blogging for a while. Now, he's an old-school journalist, right?
Yeah.
So he had gotten paid that way. But then he also started blogging because he saw value in it. But he used to talk to us about convincing the paper that blog had monetary value, that it actually could find a way to generate revenue.
Right.
And he would talk to me a lot about that. He was really fascinated that we were finding a way to generate revenue.
Yep.
And so, I mean, I'm asking you a lot of these questions as devil's advocate, obviously, but I think that there are ways for people to innovate and figure out how to get paid.
Yeah.
But I do think it's going to be kind of creepy for a while. I think overall, if it all ends up free, I just agree with that sentence that you said to me, that it's going to be, we're going to be in trouble if all the news is subsidized by somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all going to be getting barraged with something, and we're going to have to rely on somebody to tell which is the mainstream thing that says it's true.
Yeah.
Which is what I got from your blog site. It's like, wake up, people.
Yeah.
Just because they said this this is the way it really is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but so who are the people that are saying that? Well, those are newspapers run by people with most often a political agenda. Like Justin just said, Fox News.
90% of the people who are reading this are going to be saying, oh, it's written, it must be true.
I know, but then that's my point, much of the news media, I think, it already is subsidized by somebody else.
It
already is somebody else's political view. It already is somebody else's slant. So I think that's obviously opened the door for the free news media,
right,
who are getting paid from advertiser links and all that kind of stuff. And
I always
think
look.
That's much more, I don't know, viable. I'm not that
I always
about
look
stuff,
for
but.
Who...
All right, you go
who
ahead
Who paid
now.
For this...
I've been talking over you. Right, you go.
Who stands
paid
the
for this
from
whole
it?
Thing?
Yeah.
This study says that this 90% of everybody does this. Who paid for that?
Right.
Oh, it was the drug company that said this. And we need the blogger guys or whoever's going to like come in independently and tell us what's going to happen.
Yeah, check it out.
I've got Chad on the phone. You guys want to talk about pussy instead?
No. Yeah, okay,
is
fine.
Is he going to tell us about it?
Yeah, I think so. He's
all
on
right.
the line.
Can he talk objectively?
I do want to say this. Greg Loves Beer in the chat room is saying to you, Jay, that please tell you that you're not crazy for putting Brewer on your short list of baby names. We named our kid Brewer.
Excellent.
And have had nothing but compliments, he says.
Excellent. Glad to hear that.
So, yeah, he wanted
glad
to
it worked
that.
Out.
Hey, Chad, what's happening, man?
Yo.
Chatty.
Chatty. How about that?
Attention span broke.
He's in that podunk town somewhere
lost
doing some, like,
driving through a tunnel.
Chick.
Mm. He's driving across Kansas. There's hardly any.
Call him back. Do you have his number?
Yeah, it's saved again.
Call him on there.
Corn-fed girls.
We'll find out about this 21-year-old broad.
Yeah.
Without sounding too radical, you know, it's only been a short time since networks and newspapers and started looking at their businesses as entertainment and not as public service.
How short are you thinking?
It really only changed in the 70s when the FDA changed the rules for television for them so that they could start to look at news as entertainment. And before that, they didn't, you know, it was, we're going to do the news, and they were a lot more unbiased, shall we say.
Right. Jim Lehrer is a program that you can still, I assume you would agree, is a program that you can still watch the news where it's a man, or not just a guy, it's a program that's really all about the news.
Right.
And you can really tell the difference because it almost bores you to death. Every story takes 30 minutes, not 30 seconds.
Yep.
But it's quality news.
Yeah.
And that's maybe what you're talking, there was a time when, you know, most news was like that.
Right. So. I think so, and I think that has really hurt things. You know, up to today, and made the conditions for people to be kind of disgruntled that news isn't as fair and balanced as really we'd all like it to be.
But at least it always has some sort of flashy American flag through,
sure,
you know, waving
important.
Across the screen.
Yeah.
You know, I think that makes it a lot
absolutely.
Better.
But, you know, most news comes down to what sells magazines or what sells newspapers.
Right.
Yeah.
Or what freaks people out. Oh, yeah. I need to read this now.
It's entertaining. Yes.
I think Jay saying F you to alcohol limits to the .08 would sell newspapers. That's what I think it's going to sell some downloads. Is what
or any of this, like, you know, this Victorian age crap that goes on. Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Chad.
Yo, what's happening, fellas?
Hey, buddy!
Where in the country are you?
Middle of nowhere, Kansas, right now.
Is that right? I've driven through Kansas, man. That's a long
drive.
Look
around. You're doing that in the dark.
Is it flat?
It's so flat. The GPS has been a straight line the whole time.
How's your trip been? Breweries?
Awesome. Yeah, hitting a bunch. Went to Vegas, went to Arizona. Yeah, spent a couple nights in Denver. It's been great.
Any notable breweries worth mentioning to us?
Chama River was excellent. Odell's yesterday up in Fort Collins was unbelievable.
I love Odell's, actually. Good place, yeah.
Yeah, there were a bunch of good breweries, absolutely.
And have you been able to meet the BNers across the country, too?
I ran into Bad Rock, and remember Brad from Drake's?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Brad, yeah.
Yep, he just moved out to Fort Collins, so we caught up and
into
Belgium. And
that we already knew.
Got it.
So it was great.
How many days till you reach Connecticut now? What's the plan?
I think the plan is we're going to hit Kansas City tonight and spend the night. Then we're going to probably just take a couple days to get out to Connecticut from there.
Are you still driving?
We are. I'm driving right now.
Okay, yeah, all right.
So can we talk about the sorority broads or what?
Oh, yeah, actually, Flagstaff, Arizona, man. Great place.
Oh, it's Flagstaff. And so what university is in Flagstaff?
Northern Arizona University.
Okay, Northern Arizona. So what happens?
NLA.
You're out there, and you meet these chicks at a bar, or what?
Yeah, yeah. So we start out at Beaver Street. That's a great place, too. They're right
there. Yeah, you
that's
did.
Right.
Okay,
yeah. I go right there first.
Chad, that's where you ended, too, by the way.
Yeah. All right, Beaver Street. Go on.
Can I just say that I don't approve of this story?
And we ended up getting a room at this place called the Monta Vista. It's an old hotel. It's, you know, supposed to be haunted and all this crap. It's kind of like a McMenamin.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
You know, it's a hostel-type setup. And so anyway, they have a cocktail lounge attached to this thing.
Full
of
coeds.
Down there having some drinks.
You were
met a couple ladies from the local college.
Cocktail lounge at Beaver Street.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and so...
you know, we're having a couple drinks.
Sounds like
and,
a porn. Sounds like a board game.
You were... You were drunk,
so
right, Chad?
Off. It's karaoke night, so I'm down there by myself.
Okay.
And the bartender's running back and forth doing karaoke. Everyone's just kind of crazy, having a good time. And next thing I know, I'm on my way back to the Northern Arizona University dorms.
Yeah, Chad. You must have been drinking because you're a quiet dude, but you get a couple beers in you. You're doing all right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You told him you're from California, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't say he's from Connecticut. You say California. Now, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about last call or she was hot?
Oh, no. She was cute. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
But, no, I just ended up talking to her, like, right after Morgan went upstairs, and we hung out for about an hour at the bar, and everything was cool.
That's weird how that happened. The cute chick you're with decides to leave, and then suddenly I just ended up with talking to some other cute chick. That's weird.
I like that.
Yeah, it was great.
And you mentioned that you almost were able to have her roommate as well.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, later on that night when we, you know, end up back at her dorm,
laughing
she's
here.
Saying, oh, well, you know, I thought you really liked my friend. My friend was into you. And
oh.
So, hey.
Why did you bring her along?
Man.
Chad, have you always been such a mangina, or is this new? Because I didn't know this about you, and it makes me a little sad.
No.
What's sad about that?
How did you not know this about
Chad?
We're
all good. Did you hear about the crazy bitch story? Come on.
Yeah.
Apparently, I just had more respect for him.
No.
And so,
where does Bevo lose respect for Chad getting laid in Arizona? How does that? What is that? That's nothing but respect.
Bonus point.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, man.
All hey, right. So how was Milwaukee?
Milwaukee was fantastic. We had a really good time. Love to go back. You know what the consensus was between Jamil and a few of us who hadn't been there? Is that it's actually a great location for a conference, for a national homebrewers conference. Because the people were really cool. And
damn you.
The brewer scene was decent. But mostly it was the people. It was really passionate and nice homebrewers. And that's what makes for a good conference. Because you hardly leave the conference hotel anyway.
Yeah. Right.
So you really just need the people to make it happen. And yeah, I hate to tell you, Doc.
So Milwaukee and Minneapolis.
We're not flying over.
I know. Well, so it's probably going to be a little while before it would get there. I'm just saying that we thought it would be a nice... It was a fun time, and it'd be a nice location to do it. So, yeah.
Good. Glad you had a good time.
We could have planned better, Chad. Maybe you guys could have been in Wisconsin at the same time. I didn't even think about it, but...
Well, I know... I think 2NA is doing their launch in Minnesota, so maybe we can hit that. But I doubt it. It's a little out of the way.
Yeah, that's true. So are you coming home, Chad?
Absolutely. I'll be back.
When?
Sure.
You don't know yet, I assume. You haven't even been to Connecticut.
When it's cold enough.
Yeah.
Stay through the whole month. Yeah, I'll be back in December.
Chad,
back in December.
Is your connecting flight home in Arizona anywhere at all?
Near Flagstaff?
Near Arizona.
Yeah.
Did you...
I see some giggling there.
Did you practice responsible sorority dipping?
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good man.
Yeah, I locked the door.
No.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Chad's mom sends him extra condoms.
With his name written on the side?
How great would that be? Every birthday he gets a mountain of condoms.
I'll bet they have his name on them. I might even say, Chad, be careful.
Yeah.
I think if you buy in bulk, you can get monogrammed.
All right, Chad. Thanks, brother.
All right, guys, have fun. Hey, Jay, you sound great on the radio, man.
Is that right?
Yeah, thank you. Oh, not me.
Professional.
Jay Brooks, you mean, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. What are you guys listening on?
No, just hearing, you know, listening on the phone here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So.
Jay's been doing a great job.
So you
missed... Hey, have a good time, guys. I'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, all right, Chad.
Later.
Be safe.
All right. Shat the producer. Chad at thebrewingnetwork.com if you want to talk to him about his exploits. Send him an email.
Yeah, it's on Twitter.
There might be more details.
There's got to be more details. I'm out.
Even the listeners were writing in to Bevo. If Chad calls back, please tell him the story about the chicks he nailed in Flagstaff. How did they know? Did he post about it or something?
No, you said it.
You mentioned it earlier. Mentioned
but
it
I didn't know the place, did I?
Oh, no.
Just mentioned he had done it, but they knew that it was in Flagstaff. And they even said NAU.
Apparently, he was supposed to meet up with that listener and blew him off.
Oh, attaboy, Chad. I'd have blown him off, too. Come on.
Priorities.
Yeah.
I see.
Listener.
I think listener and Chad. Sounds like listener and Chad got blown off.
All right, last thing I need to do, too, is can we get Sam and Terrence in here real quick? I want to see the fresh hop grenade that we gave them last week.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Well, apparently Terrence had a little trouble with his tattoo.
No, I saw them all.
Yeah. Well, for one, he's black, and so the green is coming out a different shade on there. But
you know olive. What? He's got it right there. He can get in any bar right now.
That's true. He ejected the ink is what happened. We'll see. Oh, we'll put it on the webcam in here. But
what is it, like a squid?
I did the same thing. I had to go get a touch-up. I ejected a whole bunch of the black ink. It was all blotchy. And Terrence's green is not really there anymore. And it's not because it's faded against his skin. It's that it's literally not there. Sam's, however, who I have to say I was the least... I was the most skeptical about how it was going to turn out. His looks great. It's not as big as I remember it being that night.
That's what I said.
Story of Sam's life, right?
I married him.
No, he's actually been really meticulous about it. Like, he'll wake me up in the morning and be like, it's time to put lotion on.
Attaboy. You have to, Sammy. You have to do that.
You know what, Sammy?
You don't want to screw it. Let's see it. Come on.
You bought into this.
Show it to Doc. He's not going to approve, I can guarantee. Look at that. I think that should be on the web.
Oh, yeah.
Here, come over here, too, and just stick it up on the cam, if you would. Just
that right noodle for an arm.
Hey, you're a noodle.
There were some comments about your arm.
Now, I'm so glad I wasn't there.
Yeah, here, back up this way, too. I'll try to get some, not much light there. We'll post
a flashlight.
Let me see it. That's those guys. Let me see that thing. Yeah, man, that came out really good. That tattoo guy did a nice job.
You know,
are you happy with it, Sam, or are you having regrets?
It looks good. It looks good. I do like it.
You didn't have any remorse the next day?
Some.
Yeah, that's a yes.
Sammy.
Come on, be honest. Be honest.
Sammy?
No, super yes.
It's good for me because I've always wanted to get a tattoo.
And there you
this
go.
This is a start, and I'm going to elaborate
it's
on this.
Good for me.
You're going to keep going now already. Oh. Yeah.
Sam, did he get you laid?
By Bevo.
Didn't get him laid. No.
Yeah.
Unfortunately not.
No, actually, I think...
He's not getting any less, you see.
I think we did.
Oh, you did that?
Oh,
you both were all excited about your new ink?
Thanks,
okay. Well, then, it's good work.
And had
you...
Remember?
Now, people ask me also, were you drunk that night?
Rohypnol, not needed.
During the tattoo?
Yes.
No, afterwards.
Afterwards. So you didn't make a drunken decision?
No.
Because I was asked about that. You know, Terrence was concerned about you. He thought we should tell you not to do it.
Once Terrence decided, yes, I'm going to get mine. Because we've been talking for a couple of years now, like, oh, we're gonna get tattoos, we're getting tattoos. And then when he was like, all right, I'm going to do it, I was like, I got to do it.
Hey, look, the black guy said, you're going to do it.
That's when you do it. And had you guys actually thought about hop grenades, or you just ended up thinking about it that night that you ought to get hop grenades? Yeah, you can use that one, Terrence.
Actually, no, we weren't thinking about that. We actually had no idea what we were going to do, but...
Did you decide that night last Sunday that, hey, F it, let's go hop grenades?
Yeah, I wanted to start. You know, it's something that I believe in. I think it's a great show, and I love good beer, and why not represent it?
Well, you know what's weird is that he got a hop grenade over, like, a Jesus tattoo.
That's true.
That's next.
You will get Jesus
tattoo. Sacred Heart or something.
Terrence's no Jesus tattoo.
Let me see it. Let's see it, Terrence, because yours is having some issues.
I love his the best.
I think the issue I'm having is the blackness.
My blackness was good originally, but
when the blackness started coming through, some of the other color left. So
you see, Jay, compared to the other one over here. But it's not that. People's skin, it's different, and mine did the same. you spit out the ink.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to get it touched up.
Okay, well, no problem.
I hope the guy's good at it, too. I was told that sometimes you got to be careful. Like, if people overdo it, you can scar. And anyway, you'll be fine. Yeah. You'll be fine, Taryn. Okay. Did you have regrets? Any buyer's remorse?
No, actually, not at all. Actually, my wife and I, Becca the White, we were talking about it the next day. And once I start getting into brewing more, I'm actually going to have it be an entire shrine to brewing with barley and everything like that.
I can see hop vines up your arm.
Now,
this spot brought to you by wreckingbalm.com.
That's right. Now, Jay, I want you to know a little something about Terrence. He is also a pastor. Coming from your background as well, every time, and that's his handshake in hand right there. He chose to put the tattoo. And I was concerned for him on this because don't you think that certain members of your congregation might be?
Can I be honest with you?
Yes.
Today was not. Oh, I'll lie to you guys. Now today was actually the first day where I was at church and I had on a t-shirt and people saw it and people wanted to know what it was about. And I found out that there are a lot of people who actually like good craft beer at the church. And they're actually interested in listening to the show. So I may not be able to be on here anymore.
Oh, Terrence, don't do that to us.
So you're an ambassador of the Lord as well as the Lord.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yes. Reverend.
Now, did anyone think it was weed? Because you are black.
No. Oh, and you know the story.
Oh, that's weird. I didn't think black people liked artichokes. That's really weird. You know,
the thing I've heard the most is either an artichoke or a pine cone.
I've gotten that too.
I've heard that a lot.
Did anybody correctly call it a hop?
Well, a lot of my people.
My people. What do you mean by your people?
Yeah. What do you mean, you people? No, a lot of people there are actually my friends on Facebook, and so they knew what it was before I saw it. So,
all right,
yeah.
Bevo, let's see yours again too. Bevo got one.
Stubaka is on the phone.
Okay, I'll grab that. Yes. Go ahead, you can hang that up. And Bevo got one on her back. She chose. We tried to convince her to get it too. We tried to have her get it on her hip, but
that's
she was
where
like,
I thought it would go.
But one day she said, "One day when I have a baby, I'm gonna have a big fat ass, and it will spread out."
It's gonna turn into a head of lettuce.
And she thought it would look like a head of lettuce. Let's see where you got it. She got it, and she didn't go for the normal like either tramp stamp or high back. She went center of the back.
Yeah.
Like a mother.
Big Tim was so surprised that she did.
Look at that. She was the first one to call me when I said we're doing a tattoo show. She said right away, yours looks great right there.
Yeah.
She texted me right away, are you really doing on-air tattoos
it's such
tonight?
It's a nice tattoo.
And I said yes, and she said, I'm in.
It's clean, it's precise.
I'm surprised you're saying this, Doc. Are you saying this because you've been drinking, or you don't like tattoos?
Doc's been drinking?
I asked her when it came in, I got to see your tattoo, and she goes,
and you like it?
What did I say when we came in?
He likes it. And I think one of the best, I mean, in my opinion, the best part about it is that it's completely concealable. I wore a strapless dress on Friday. You can't see it at all.
Okay. It is so clean.
And it's very neat. It's a nice tattoo.
Sam, did you take an opportunity to have the best view of that tattoo at any given time since she's had it? You know what I'm saying?
Not yet.
You have not yet taken that opportunity. Because I want to know.
I won't overshare.
Because the question remains: if you think of me every time you see that tattoo, now.
Well, I bet Sam never seen a hop grenade as a target before.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to overshare slightly on our methods of birth control, but didn't want to get anything in it.
I see. By the way,
my boss uses the same form. He has 3 kids. Just saying.
Okay, I just wanted to know. I'm going to send you a goofy picture of me smiling because I want to ruin your life, Sam. I think it'd be hilarious.
The guy that did the tattoos, all that I've seen, they're really clean.
He did a good job.
Yeah, he did a great job.
I hope he does a free touch up for you. I'll call him because I have his card too. Because
so
that should be a free touch up. You got to get
plug?
More ink in there.
What was his name?
I did it all on last week's show. Rob.
His name was Rob.
The Rob.
The Rob guy.
Yeah, the Rob.
It actually says The Rob.
It does.
On his business card.
Who's on the phone, Beef?
Stubaka.
Stubaka.
Oh, you are? Stubaka, what's happening?
What's up, brother?
How are you, man?
My shoulder itches like shit. That's all I have to say.
Yes,
my
Chewbacca.
Itches like shoulders.
Chewbacca really is the one non-BN staffer who got the hop grenade tattoo that night.
I thought there were two.
She didn't end up getting it because Rob got tired. He didn't realize he was going to have to do four tattoos that night, and he was kind of tired out.
That's what Bevo was saying. It itches right now a lot.
Yeah. It's killing you, huh, Chewbacca?
Oh, hell yeah. You should have seen Rob's face when Rachel was saying she wanted one on her ass.
Yeah.
It was like a deer in headlights. It was amazing.
Yeah, he probably just got too tired, and I don't blame him.
But she backed out.
Yeah. Now, did you have any regret?
Hell no.
Did you get any?
The only thing is I want to punch people in the face when they ask if it's a fucking artichoke.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of that. Welcome to my world. You're going to get a lot of artichoke for the rest of your life. So,
did you see the safety handle on the side?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Artichokes don't have that.
Somebody said it best when it was on our forum that artichokes would be upside down and grenades and hops go down, which is a good point.
It's a bomb.
I wanted to say it was blobber.
Yeah, it might have been. So you could always say that. You can go, hey, stupid, artichokes grow up.
They don't have the safety handle.
Yeah.
Something
or
like that.
Pins.
Or the pin, the ring and the pin. Yeah.
Well, it looks great. Yours came out great, man. I think your tattoo was really nice. I thought that Terrence's was going to be the best, but you spit out that ink, man. It'll be fine.
Nice.
Rob said he'd take care of it, man.
Okay, good. Good, good.
You know, people keep looking at that thing, and they keep looking at his lines on the outline.
Yeah.
And like six people have been like, give me his fucking card.
Yeah, steady hand on that guy. Yeah. He really did nice work.
These are some of the cleanest tattoos I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
More importantly, why didn't you get one, Jay?
I already have hop grenades on me.
No, but a hop grenade.
A
big, giant one.
Yeah.
But
I said the same thing.
A couple reasons. The first one, genuinely, is that I have two of them on me already. The second reason is, though, I think it's a jinx. I don't want a jinx. You don't get your own...
But you already have it, so
who has to run the show?
But it's part of another thing. To just put my logo on me, I think it's a jinx. And mine are different, too. They're actually real hops. They just have little grenade things. So I changed it to... I'm very superstitious. And being that that's a completely... It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I can just make all sorts of rules that make it okay.
Sure, but that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
I want to see how that works. But,
you know, it's not it's not really the logo.
So handcuffs on JP would be bad.
Yeah.
So, I won't ever get it just as a full-on. I don't think it's, I think it's a jinx. I think we'll
go out of
business.
I don't think it's a good-looking
tattoo. You should just get it on your back.
As a fag tag?
That hot grenade.
Crush your nipples.
Yeah. Ouch. Ouch.
Ah.
Well, I'm glad nobody has buyer's remorse. I would have felt bad for a couple seconds about that. And then I would have loved that you all wearing my logo for the rest of your lives.
If your grandkids got to ask about your lower back tattoo... They shouldn't be looking there.
Back in my day, that was a thing.
Now, Beav, are you addicted? Will you get more tattoos now? The rumor is that once you get one, you go black.
You're not opposed to having maybe... You're not allowed to speak anymore. I'm not opposed to having maybe another one or having this one
augmented.
On to or changed a bit. Yeah. But,
nice. What about Sam's face?
She was like, I want to put some explosions behind it.
I
kind of want to
make explosion
like fire.
Behind it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Sam so does Sam, yeah.
And maybe like a Camaro.
Why don't you put a Confederate flag around it while you're at it?
Make Sam actually get
burning
there.
Crust.
Well, while I like having it, I don't like the fact that I have the same exact tattoo as...
Everybody
as your husband?
Three other people.
Oh. A lot more than that.
And possibly more.
There's a lot more than that. There's
I'd like
a lot
to make
of these,
it a little different.
It's by next year, I predict we'll have at least one in every state. I think it's going to... It's really taking
on. But there's only four that did it on air.
That's true.
We have to do another on-air thing.
We might do another one. It was highly successful. I got a lot of emails about people saying I would have gone and done it. So we might have to do another one.
NHC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we could do. Maybe we can tattoo at NHC.
Don't even ask.
I'm kind of hammered.
What about you, Doc?
If I'm not married at the time,
then it's possible.
Yeah,
Doc. If you're not married at the time, anything's possible. I'm worried about that.
I will cut my own head off on air and tattoo it on your face.
All right, I got to clear the line, Chewbacca. Thanks, brother.
All right, brother.
I appreciate you manning up and getting that tat.
Cha cha cha.
All good, man. I froze my nuts off on my way home, though.
Yeah, you rode a motorcycle out there like an idiot.
You know what? Just don't live where it's cold.
He drove out to Napa on that night.
It wasn't cold.
And he had to ride back to San Francisco. And he doesn't even have a motorcycle jacket. He's got flannel and an open face helmet. Yeah. I got to say, Stubaka, you're not the sharpest tool in the shed.
And my BN hoodie.
Yeah.
And that was it.
All right, well, it's your fault you froze.
You know, the BN hoodie should have kept him smoking the whole way through.
Thanks, brother.
All
right,
bro.
Later. All right, real quick, drunk of the week call. Next person call in is probably going to get it. I got to give away some Belgian candy sugar. I got to take a leak.
Come on,
Jay.
Got
to get out of here.
Jay.
Unless we want to. Maybe I should just give it to Terrence for his first brewing or something like that.
You have something to say?
Are you going to homebrew anytime soon,
Not
Terrence?
A thing. I'm planning on it. Yes, I'm planning on it. I'm running out.
No.
We got to give our listeners a chance. 888-401-BEER, calling quick. We're going to get out of here. I just want to say thanks again to Jay for hanging out, doing the show with us.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it was everything you hoped it would be.
Yes, it was, and more.
Oh, good. Well, come back anytime, especially if you want to talk more about the... You know, we don't get to be serious very often on this program, and I enjoy talking about... We always have good conversations with you, Jay, at festivals and whatnot, so come back and do it on the show with us.
Yeah, about current stuff.
Talk more about the Neo probes.
We got just less than 3 months till SF Beer Week, so...
That's true.
Got that coming up.
There might be a BN Beer Festival just before SF Beer Week. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not officially releasing it.
Fair enough.
Hey, what did you think about the Beer Wars movie? And because it approached neo-prohibitionists a little bit.
It did. I thought she made a great effort to do it. There were a lot of people who criticized her effort, I think, which I disagreed with. But I think we're going to hear news soon that it's going to get out to a wider audience. I think the initial night, not everybody who really needed to see that movie saw it. It was more people who are, in a lot of cases, already knew the story.
Right.
But I would like to see that get out to so more people understood, you know, about their buying decisions. And
she did. I will say this for her sake, because she had tweeted it. If you're not part of Annette Baron, that's the filmmaker we had her on the show a few weeks ago.
Right.
If you're not part of her Twitter, she wanted people to put Beer Wars in their Netflix queue.
Yeah,
because it would have helped her get it. It will help her get a better kind of a rate and a deal, and that certainly could be a wide distribution too. So if you guys are Netflix people and you want to help out a little bit, put Beer Wars in your Netflix.
Just put it in your queue. Yeah,
that's all you got
to
do.
I would encourage everyone to do that too. Yeah, to help her out.
Yeah,
I mean she financed it all herself.
Right.
You know, that when it, you know, it's not some big corporate thing, and I think she did a great job. And she did it because she felt strongly about the story. And I think a lot of people unfairly attacked her because they didn't like some of the ways she went about it.
Right. And we talked. That's what we spoke with her about. And I was pretty honest with her, JP as well, about you know, we had some preconceptions about the movie too.
Sure.
That actually, in watching the movie, those went away for me, and I actually ended up really respecting it. And I loved talking to her. She was a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's a great person.
And listeners responded really well too. I got a lot of emails saying that they really appreciated hearing her talk about why, what, and where. And anyway, just curious because it does touch on some of the topics that you are passionate about. So I just wondered. Okay, we're just going to get out of here. The phone's not ringing on Drunk of the Week. We don't have to give away some Belgian candy sugar this week, so that's no problem.
Maybe we can give Terrence the dark candy syrup.
We'll do that. We'll give Terrence some dark candy syrup.
Give him the D2.
Yeah.
God damn.
All right. Take care of that thing still, even though you're going to get it touched up, TDB. Keep putting that AD stuff on it.
Ritalin?
The lube.
The A&D or just lotion?
The A&D.
Okay.
Have you been putting lotion on it?
I've been putting both. My wife's a nurse, and she obviously doesn't know what she's talking about. She told me to stop.
No.
Were you doing lotion since the first day?
No, I was doing A&D.
Only?
Yes.
When did you start putting lotion on it?
2 days ago.
Okay, that's all right. You're okay.
Okay.
Really? Yeah, you want that?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, crap.
What did you say?
A keloid. Black people get that.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't say
what's it for what?
It's not for you. It's like sickle cell. It's just us.
No, it's this ugly skin thing. Don't do that.
I think you can do lotion by now. That's okay. As long as you didn't do it for the first few days, you're probably okay. The tech guy was like, do whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
I was like, really? You do really good tattoos, but that's not the best advice I ever heard. All right. Well, thanks, Terrence. I think you manned up there.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
And you'll have a nice tattoo once we get that thing corrected.
We'll get it fixed,
Yeah. And covered up and expanded on.
Yeah. What do I need to know, Bevo? Just holler it out. We're fine? Okay. Now we're getting out of here. All right, Jay, thanks again. BrookstonBeerBulletin.com. And what about the Bay Area News Group? Do you remember it?
It's a weird address. just Google search bottoms up.
There we go.
It's probably the easiest thing to do.
Okay. And then Brookston on Twitter and also Facebook.
And the Fries. What's the Fries page?
Freetsfan.blogspot.com. But it hasn't been updated in a while. I'll warn everyone in advance.
But to be at that on
it's new to me.
Yeah. You might need to update it.
It's all updated to me.
I might need to.
Yeah. All right. And then we'll do a Fry tour as soon as humanly possible.
Oh,
a
Fry crawl.
A Fry crawl, yes.
Bless, let's
do
that.
One locally.
You're going to kill JP.
Yes.
He did go to the doctor.
Oh, I have high cholesterol meds. I'm all right.
See, and I think you're right, Jay, because he's been all freaked out about it since the day he put him on meds.
Yeah.
So you might be on the right track.
I like Fries.
All right. I hope you don't die, Jay. In between now and your next appearance, I hope you don't die.
Okay.
That's my wish for you.
Because eventually.
Yeah.
But on your next one.
It won't be your next appearance.
If you do die, I hope it's on the air. Because that will
on
be
our air.
On
our
ratings boost. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
It'll be great. Especially if you do it with a handful of fries right here on the webcam.
Yeah.
Fries don't
I got a guy in the gullet.
All right, come back and see us, Jay.
Sure will.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, everybody. You did good work. Thank you to AirTran Airlines for getting me home today. I appreciate that. And Wisconsin, you rock! Wow! All right, we'll see you next week.
Wisconsin.
At a time, and the women think the lamb is fine. But don't you give me that American crude, boys. I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love it? Better homebrew, can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all the time. Yeah, I think I'll have it. Well, I'm the one right now. Yeah, you know what?